Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 80, your one-stop manga news and commentary for the week of January 15th, 2014. I'm your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
Good morning, everyone. Have a fine day.
Indeed. Well, as fine as a day as it can be, given that everywhere is covered in snow. But
Oh, yeah.
Still, yeah. This is a bit of a milestone here. We've got episode 80. That we've brought out.
8-0.
Yeah.
Just give it eight more episodes and we'll have 8-8 and be like, turn it around to infinity.
Yeah.
Just turn it around right now to infinity.
Yeah, that's the fun thing is we're like 20 more episodes away from reaching our big 100, which I'm just thinking is like, wow, that's amazing. And yeah, let's see. Yeah, and it's kind of weird considering that episode 70 we put out at the end of October last year. And then so from the very beginning of November to now has been the last 10 episodes. So that's been a couple months.
Yeah.
It seems so much longer since then. But yeah, we've got a pretty great episode this week around. We're going to be going over the Obata Sensei special. Or is it? Wait, which one is it? Whichever one does the art.
Wait, where was that again?
That's the current issue of Weekly Shonen Jump. It just came out on Saturday.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, so we'll be going over that. We're also going to be covering Fairy Tail Volume 34 and One Piece Volumes 4 through 6. And also, just a bit of an update on that. What we're going to be doing is, since Mo needs some time to purchase new volumes, and since we imagine people would get sick if we do just One Piece all the time, what we're going to end up doing is we're going to, for the rest of this month, we're going to be going over One Piece. We're going to do a total of 4 weeks of One Piece, then we'll take a quick break to go over some other manga as well, and also give Mo the time that he needs to buy the new manga, and me also to buy some new ones, because eventually we'll catch up to what I've bought, and we need to make sure that I have all the newest ones. But for now, and the next 2 weeks, we're going to be covering One Piece, and this week also Fairy Tail, because, you know, new volume, might as well take a moment to talk about that. We're also, let's see, I think that's about it, but as usual, to start off, let's go ahead and talk about some news. All right, Mo.
All right. So for the Japanese comic rankings, we have for December 23rd through 29th, first place is Glitches Volume 12.
Yep, we have Assassination Classroom Volume 7 in second place.
Third place is Kyowa Kaisha Yasumimasu in third place. Wait, is it third place again? Oh, third place.
It's volume 5.
Oh, volume 5.
Yeah, in fourth place we have Saki, volume 12.
Still waking up, mm-hmm. I guess. Fifth place, Working, volume 12.
Sixth place, Wolf Girl and Black Prince, volume 8.
Seventh place, Fairy Tail, volume 41. That's the latest one, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is going to take us a while to catch up to that. Well, just a couple more months. But, eighth place, High Score Girl, Volume 5.
Ninth place, Attack on Titan, Volume 12.
Okay. Tenth place, Kobayashi ga Kawaisugi Itsurai, Volume 5. All right, and we also have... And, yeah, because that was the last week's... we should have read those rankings.
That was supposed to be last week, but it didn't come up. So
yeah, it came out like a couple days later, and we were just like, "Yeah, we'll just save it for this week." But for the Japanese comic rankings for December 30th to January 5th, in first place we have Blue Exorcist Volume 12.
Again.
Interesting.
In second place we have Assassin's Classroom Volume 7. Again.
Mm-hmm. In third place we have Natsume's Book of Friends Volume 17.
In fourth place, we have Toriko, volume 28.
In fifth place, we have Attack on Titan, volume 12.
Sixth place, Nisekoi, volume 10. Oh, and about the anime, I just saw the first episode.
Yeah, same here.
Yep, the animation isn't that bad. Although, I have to admit, there's a one part, I was like, okay, they're just changing the background because they're too lazy.
Well, No. Be fair. That happens in every anime.
Oh, it
I
does? I
mean,
didn't know
oh
that.
yeah, the
I don't watch
backgrounds.
anime much. That's
Yeah.
my problem too. You know how I
Yeah.
am with adaptation.
Yeah. The backgrounds,
But it
yeah,
was still
change.
good. It was still good. Just, I guess I didn't. The old me song didn't click to me. Click. That's the name of the song, by the way.
Yeah, next, seventh place, Haikyuu, Volume 9.
Eighth place, Gyowa Kaisha Yasumimasu, Volume 5.
Ninth place, Seraph of the End, Volume 4. What the hell?
Well, we're reading it, so there's gotta be a reason why. And 10th place, Beelzebub Volume 25. Whoa.
Beat that.
Beelzebub was there.
Yeah, go
Oh
higher,
man.
Beelzebub. All right, let's see, what do we
Be
have
funny
here?
again. I think that's the reason why readers are like, hey, what the heck? We don't want this.
Yeah.
Well, it's about a guy raising a.
Well, they know that, Mo. We've been talking
Yes.
about it for months.
Oh yes, right.
Because I'm pretty sure they get that. Say, when's the next chapter coming out? Anyway. All right. We've got the New York Times manga bestseller list for December 29th to January 4th. And in first place, we have Attack on Titan Volume 10.
Second place was Attack on Titan Volume 1.
30 weeks on the list. Jeez. Third place, we have Maximum Ride Volume 7.
What the heck?
Yeah, I know, right?
Fourth place, Attack on Titan Volume 2.
Fifth place, Naruto Volume 63.
Sixth place, Attack on Titan Volume 3.
Seventh place, Attack on Titan Volume 9.
Eighth place, Black Butler Volume 1 on the list for 37 weeks.
Yeah. Sailor Moon, ninth place, we have Sailor Moon Short Stories Volume 2.
And 10th place, Soul Eater Volume 3.
Yeah. How'd that suddenly get on there?
What is Volume 3 has Kid, Liz, and Patty on the cover, and I don't know when does that take place, but I think it's still in the beginning.
Pretty early on. Yeah, I mean, we read the first two volumes.
Oh yeah, it's true. I'm glad
Yeah.
we did that.
All right, and we have North American anime and manga releases for January 5th through the 11th. Mo, you want to start it off?
Oh yeah, you want me to start? Fine.
Haha.
And
Go ahead.
anyone you can do, I can do better. Ugh.
Is that a challenge?
No, and every time I read that every time I read that anyone you can do, I can do better or anything I can do. It reminds me of that one song, that Kix commercial thing of one.
All right, well, we've also got Aria, The Natural, Season 2, Part 1, Lightbox.
Next, we have Lagrange, The Power of Rin A, Blu-ray and DVD set 2, season 2.
Season 2, yep. And we have, dang it, Monster Hunter.
Oh, Aria, I
Oh,
want to check that
sorry, what am I saying? Maid Service DVD.
out.
Crap. Try to escape it. No.
You said Monster Hunter. What the heck? The next one is Monster Rancher, DVD complete season 1.
Yeah, that's what I was getting confused by. We
Yeah,
have,
we're both still trying to wake up.
yeah, we have Pat Labor, Blu-ray and DVD collection 4.
Utano Prince Sama Blu-ray and DVD collection, complete collection.
Cool. Euro Yuri, Happy Go Lily, Blu-ray season 2, premium edition.
That's a Yuri series, I know that much.
You don't say. Euro Yuri.
Ugh, Moe, I don't. No, forget it.
Yeah, it
I
probably
hate when Yuri has something to do with Moe. I'm like, dang it, come on now.
is. Yeah. All right, let's
Ugh.
see. Oh, what's this? Monster Hunter Season 1. Right, that's 44.99 for that. It's a bit much. We only have a couple in stock left. That's a shame. Kind of want that. Except that's a fair bit of money that I don't think I'm ready to pay yet.
I'll save that for the manga.
Yeah. Oh well. Anyway, for our manga releases, we have Alice in the Country of Hearts, The Mad Hatter's Late Night Tea Party, Volume 2.
Okay, we gotta keep a counter on how many of these appear because I swear there's like a lot of these.
Yeah, there are.
I think we probably listed more than a dozen already. I'm realizing like, hey, wait, didn't we? Oh, it's different. It's called this
Yeah.
instead.
Yeah, I am having a lot of deja vu with some of these.
Okay, Bleach. Volume 19 through 21 Omnibus.
Dictatorial Grimoire, Volume 2, Snow White. Interesting.
Fairy Tale, Volume 34.
Oh, hey, apropos. Flowers of Evil, Volume 8.
Okay. Hanakimi, volume 19 to 21, Omnibus.
What the? Hello Kitty, Volume 2, Delicious.
I don't think kitties are delicious, but okay. Kimi ni Todoke, volume 18.
Midnight Secretary, Volume 3.
Monster Musume, volume 2.
Naruto Volume 19 to 21 Omnibus.
Naruto, volume 64.
Natsume's Book of Friends, Volume 15, and
Ah, here we go. Nisekoi, False Love, volume 1.
gosh darn it, must get. Let's see.
Same.
Ultraman Volume 17.
10 bucks! Oh man! Okay, Pokemon Adventure Volume 20, Ruby and Sapphire Saga.
Indeed. Siren Volume 14.
Rurouni Kenshin Restoration Volume 2. I wonder if anybody's gonna get that, to be honest.
Strobedge Volume 8.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Zeal
Zeal.
Volume 4.
Zero's Familiar Volume 3 Omnibus.
Okay. And we don't have any other because there's so much manga. I guess they didn't care about the other, or there was no other. Ah, dang, the manga are coming out. We forget it. We're going to hang back for a bit.
There's a lot of manga this week. So, all right. Let's see, what else do we have in the news?
Okay, oh, this is very interesting, Jackie. Vampire Bun Tamaki stars Uchi no Musume ni Te o Desu na manga. Okay. When I saw this, I was like, okay, this is the guy that did that one manga with that vampire loli that I swear I see everywhere. I mean, not her, but like the archetype. And this one is different. This one follows the story of a superhero who stepped back and retired a decade ago. She withdrew to a humble life as a homemaker with her daughter. However, her beloved daughter was selected to become the next generation heroine, so she returns to protect her daughter. This is very interesting because, usually you don't see this type of manga in general.
It's
I want to read it.
that does look odd. Yeah, that is one of those ones where I look at it and I'm like, huh,
No, I
interesting.
seriously want to read it. Because, well, not because there's two women, of course it could be that, but it's more because, it's a little different. Because you don't get that much superhero manga.
True, I know
We don't.
usually when it's superhero stuff, it's more of the Japanese versions of superheroes.
And don't remind me of Zen Man. Oh boy, Zen Man is dark superhero. It's like, what the heck, man? Come on, man.
Well, all right, let's see, what else do we have?
Oh, okay. Next, we have Crunchyroll adds. Okay, we get three new manga on Crunchyroll manga. Inside Mari, Silver Nina, and Love Theory manga. Oh, sorry, Love Theory. Three of them are manga. Inside Mari is this is the one that you read.
I read part of and got
I
weirded
read part of
out
it
by
too.
it.
Yeah, I was like, what the heck? So it follows an angel-like, beautiful high school girl. Certain secrets she has been hiding from everyone, and is an idol hikikomori. Young man, what?
It's
Oh
basically,
no! So sorry. And the young man is the idol hikikomori, and somehow he sees her at a convenience store, and then he ends up waking up in her room and swears like he can. He's like he's her. I'm like, how do you like what?
It's basically he wakes up in her body. It's a bit of an odd series. So, yeah, it gets weird. It's
Okay.
not one I recommend.
Yeah. So the next one is Silver Nina is about this guy who goes back to his home country after losing his job in Tokyo. And to his surprise, when he opens the door to his family home, he finds a beautiful little girl with silver hair and blue eyes. Like, any day you would see a little girl with silver hair and blue eyes. Anyways, taking place in the city on the plateau, a tired young man and a beautiful half Japanese girl bring you a story of the slow, calming life in the country.
Right. Yeah, I find this, I don't know, this seems to be another one of those. I haven't actually looked at it, but it looks like it's one of those guy ends up raising a stepdaughter kind of
Oh no,
series.
I know.
Those tend, with the exception of Yotsuba, those tend to end not very well, so I'm just thinking I'm staying away from this.
Yeah, it could be good. We don't know. We're judging already, but after all the other stuff, we can blame those other guys for, more.
Yeah.
Hey,
We haven't even.
I've been down this road before. I don't
Yeah.
want to see this. I've heard about this. I don't want. I don't. I heard about some of these, and
Yeah, you may.
just.
Yeah, people may not know this, but Otako no Musume-san, Bunny Drop. May
Oh,
not
God.
have discussed those on this podcast, but I have read them. And so I know very well how these series often turn out.
Bunny
So,
Drop's
yeah.
little it's Bunny Drop's much worse in
Bunny
terms of
Drops is
and
weird. Anyway, carry
Love
on.
Theory. Another series. Began as an ultimate love manual. What? Published by love education instructor Aya Mizuno. And then is used as a how-to book as the basis for a fictional story about a virgin who finds success with these lessons.
Right.
So
Yeah,
it's
this one's kind of weird because they, I don't know, when they first put it out, and let me check it again right now, but
Hang on, let me finish
yeah,
reading
go
one.
ahead.
Okay, it's a sexual comedy, follows a college student who lacks good looks, money, or any sense of what to do around women. Ha.
Yeah.
However, he meets Aya, a ghost and self-proclaimed love education instructor. Aya trains the college guy on the techniques to be cool and desirable to women. A woman training a man how to
Yeah.
get women.
Yeah, here's the weird thing about it. It only has one chapter out on Crunchyroll. It's chapter 35, so I don't
The
know why they expect people to read this without at least the first chapter out. So, yeah, I
But
don't.
Dasha, have you not learned from
Yeah.
what Shonen Jump did with Yukio Zeal? I would have read
Yeah.
it if I had started from chapter one, despite.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I have to imagine that they'll be bringing out the other chapters. But looking at this, I'm like, this is a completely worthless waste of space at the moment. I got nothing. It's like, I don't know. It seems kind of a waste. And the same thing with Inside Mari. It's basically and Yeah, and Silver Nina. It's basically these chapters are out for Simulpub because they're the most recent ones, but they haven't bothered putting the other ones up, which nobody's gonna read it, so that's kind of
Well,
pointless.
they said by summer they're gonna have 150 out, 150 other Kodansha series out on Crunchyroll. So they're just, they're testing the waters apparently. Like, oh, just put a little bit, see what people think. I'm like, these three
Yeah.
are pretty much not what people want. I have to talk softly now because someone's audio hurts.
Look, when you record audio, there are certain levels you don't want to hit. You keep hitting the red.
I'm sorry.
And I don't even know how. You've got a terrible mic. Anyway, carrying on.
Terrible.
Carry on.
Okay. So next we have is so we find the Inuyashiki manga. I'm not sure that's the same manga that was revealed at one time. The protagonist is an old man. Aging salaryman with no success in work and no trust of his family begins later this month. It's interesting because, we usually get the whole, oh, this suave 30-year-old guy or some super handsome or somewhat almost handsome high schooler boy as a protagonist
Right.
or college student or whatever, and we get an old man. And I gotta admit, I like delving out a little bit out of the norm because it's interesting to try something new. And this is coming from the mangaka who did Gantz, so
I don't trust him.
even might be a comedy, huh?
I don't care. I don't trust the man. Once a seinen author, always a seinen author.
Well, his art still looks seinen, so I guess it is
Well, yeah, but
seinen often.
yeah, I approach this one with trepidation. But
No, I'm gonna check it out.
all right, what else do we have?
Let's see. Okay, Aya Zawa illustrates the new Paradise Kiss covers. Now, the reason I bring this is because Paradise Kiss is a popular manga
So I've heard.
at the time, and I didn't have an idea what it was, but I always had a feeling, hey, they dress pretty fashionably, and it's a fashion manga, apparently.
Yeah.
A fashion school manga, so they go to the fashion school and make really cool clothing. Well, the art doesn't look that bad. I guess maybe it's a new art style, because, the manga came out back in 1999, so.
Indeed.
So it's gonna be released in North America by Tokyo Pop and Vertigo. Wait. Tokyo Pop is back?
And well,
What?
sort of. If I understand right, they're doing a very limited amount of stuff right now. So, yeah, but this other one kind of interests me.
Vertigo? Okay, Vertigo release of Witchcraft Works manga has been listed. Okay, now I gotta read this series because
It's amusing. It
it
kind
yeah,
of,
it's amazing.
yeah, it kind of loses its focus at a certain point where you just get bored or you don't know what's going on exactly. But it's still, the opening chapters are kind of amusing, and there is an anime out for it now, so it's pretty entertaining. I like the two main characters. They act not you, the way you usually would expect, so it's got something going
Yeah,
for it in that aspect.
that's the reason why I want to check it out. Still wonder I want to get back to reading. Anyways, Silver Spoon manga 10-volume bundle with an Emma wishing cabinet. Because,
Interesting.
people believe in wishes coming true. As that
Indeed.
one Isekai chapter
Yeah.
explained.
Yeah, I got. I don't know. That's kind of an odd thing to bundle with it. Personally, I would have wanted an OVA, but that's just me because I'm not going to be able to get their version of the 10th manga anytime soon. So, oh well.
I see it kind of looks older. I don't know if that's really the picture I'm looking at. I don't know if that's really the actual Emma wishing tablet, or that's just a sample of someone writing their wish down. Because if it's actually what it comes with, I'd be like, hey, someone's wish is already written on here. That's not fair.
It's like you don't get to make your own wish. Ha 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 ha.
I wish for 1,000 fortune cookies. What? I don't want this.
Ew, gross. That's
Yeah.
nasty. No, but
Really? Oh, okay.
I don't like those cookies. They don't usually taste very good.
No, it's because you eat the paper. Stop eating the paper.
I don't eat the paper. The cookies taste like paper. All right, what else do we
Anyways,
have?
here we go. Black Lagoon and Solanin manga authors post their New Year's sketches. Okay, I really have to read Black Lagoon.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it gets really dark, but at the same time, it remains really fun.
I have to read because it has that heroine type I want to read about.
She's crazy, trust me.
That's exactly why I want to read that.
Yeah, she's insane.
Anyways, the art looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
The two art moves.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like art,
I gotta
but
admit though, well,
yeah.
the second one just looks really
Weird.
yeah, weird.
Indeed. All right, let's see what else. Soul Eater Knot anime cast rumors.
Yes.
I haven't read that manga, so I'm like, yeah, don't care.
Yeah, like well, let's see, well, this one, I'm not really, with the, well, all I can just say is that, I didn't realize that they were making anime of it. That's all I can say.
Well, yeah, same here. I had absolutely no idea that this was going to be an anime.
So, pretty much the cast will be, let's see, Haruka Chisuga, Saori Hayami, and Aoi Yuki as, okay, basically, Haruka will be Tsugumi Harudori, Saori will be Anya Hepburn, and Aoki Yuki will be Meme Tadani. Meme is the one with the big ones.
What?
Yes.
I don't read that manga. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you should read it. It's not that bad. It's a spin-off. It's
Well, I
generally
haven't read the
spin-off.
original,
But it.
so.
Oh, yeah. It's a spin-off. It has characters from the original series, but I focus more on the spin-off character. But the thing about the spin-off is that it kind of feels like it connects to the main story in its own way. And I'm trying to figure out where the timeline takes place. It takes place before the main story starts, but at the same time, it's like you see some characters like, wait, where was this person? And then you see a character from that spin-off and the actual manga, and you're like, wait, what? No, you
Yeah,
see two of
that's
them.
weird.
You see two of them, and you're like, wait, what? Oh. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
no.
it's not Soul Eater, but it's Soul Eater not. I know.
No,
I
but
don't
I'm not
know.
gonna read that before I read the original, so
Yeah.
let's see, what else do
Okay.
we have here?
Well, as we all should know, Crunchyroll finally adds Sneezy Koi to the streaming lineup. And as I
Indeed.
just said a while ago, I watched the episode and it's not that bad. Actually, I like how they did the opening, how they
Yeah.
like keep certain characters from being revealed. It's like, oh, who's the silhouette? And for those who read the series, they're like, oh, I know who that is. People who
Yeah.
watch them for the first time, no, never seen them, never read the manga, or just getting to the anime for something, they're like, who's that person?
Yeah, that's a re
That's good.
I really like that because I am sick and tired of series that spoil characters, in the openings. One Piece is especially guilty of this. I don't know
Toy.
what, yeah, I don't know what Toei's deal is, but revealing that Robin's gonna be a crew member in one of the openings before, she actually joins was kind of stupid. So you kind of have to wonder. Toei has kind of been awful for a very long time. But yeah,
And
I
yet they're
like,
still around.
yeah, well, I don't know. But I like the way Nisekoi does this in that, it promises, hey, look, there's something coming up that you should know about. And but, they're not spoiling it, and it gives them the perfect opportunity. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be very hard to replace the silhouette with the actual character once they're introduced. So I kind of
Totally.
think, yeah, I think that's promising. And especially with a harem series, it's always kind of annoying when you watch the opening and it has all the girls in there and you're just, well, no surprises for me. With this one, it's no, we just show the two girls that are there and then we tease at the other two. So that's very promising. One thing I thought about the anime that was a bit odd was its use of CGI. Like, why is the pendant CGI? I mean, in the opening it's
Yeah.
CGI and that's I'm kind of like, well, that looks terrible. Why are you doing that? And then it's CGI in the actual episode, and I'm thinking, that looks awful.
Yeah.
Is it really that hard for you lazy bastards to just draw the freaking pendant? You don't need to use CGI for this. This is not an action heavy series. You don't need to use CGI to cheat during the action scenes. It's a freaking pendant. Most of the time, it's just going to be hanging around the main character's neck or being held
Look,
up by him.
see
Draw
this pen?
it!
You see this pen? You see how important this thing is? Yeah, look at it. Look, it's like it's different from the rest. It stands out. I'm like, dude.
Shouldn't stand out. It looks terrible. It's as if we. It's basically as if we had an anime where they decided the main character's tie is going to be CGI and it's going to be very painfully obvious. And I'm just. Why? This
Funny. We were
doesn't.
just discussing about a certain anime, how it had the background, like nothing stands
Yeah.
out, and you're like, oh, wait, I didn't see that coming. That was good. Why
It's.
can't they stick to that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's called
Honestly.
surprises. I mean, you don't do surprises too much, but when you make something obvious, and then, good,
Yeah.
it's great you brought up the pen, because I was like, that thing just bugged me to heck. I'm like, okay,
Yeah.
when. There was a part where one of the characters threw something at the character, and I was like, okay, that just didn't feel right, no matter
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's actually part of the world. It's
what. Not to
weird.
mention it should have killed him, but that besides the
Well,
point.
yeah. It's yeah, the thing is that CGI in 2D animation is it always looks awful. It just looks terrible. It looks out of place unless you manage to actually draw it, give it a texture that actually looks like something that was drawn. Instead of, just flat out being freaking lazy about it and giving it a complete CGI texture, and I'm just, this looks awful. I don't know who you think you're fooling. And honestly, I mean, use computers in 2D animation, but freaking don't do just bits of the animation directly in the computer like that. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
Well,
anyway.
that's not going to stop them because they don't care about this.
Yeah, well.
We can just voice our opinions, but maybe, the other fans will be like, hey, this looks a little
Yeah.
weird.
Still, the only other thing that's really different from the manga is that there's a lot more, the backgrounds are a lot more stylized, there's more going on in the backgrounds,
Oh.
as opposed to being mostly just white backgrounds. I mean, Nisekoi doesn't do just white backgrounds, but it does have, it does have a focus on Just the backgrounds being plain generic backgrounds. Well, here I kind of got a bit of a Nora Rise of the Yokai Clan vibe from the house
Oh
with the way it's designed. I mean, it's not gonna be
no.
important. That's just kind of what it reminds me of. But
Yeah.
yeah. All right, last bit of news.
The site for the new Fairy Tail anime launches. I just checked out the site, and even though my Google Chrome Translate should be able to translate everything to English, it doesn't translate everything to English. I'm like,
I think
because of katakana.
I think the reason for that is because the way the translator works is it translates text, but if there are certain elements of the site that aren't actually text, they're images, it can't translate that. So say for example the backgrounds or whatnot are in Japanese, but they're just an image file, not a text. That won't, yeah, that's not gonna translate. So
Yeah.
yeah. All right, and let's see. Let me actually check this site out myself, see what it looks like. 'Cause that is kind of exciting, and I'm hoping that they come back to Crunchyroll, even though right now it looks like the rest of the Fairy Tail anime isn't on Crunchyroll anymore. I am kind of hoping that the new one comes out because it looks like I'm paying for Crunchyroll now. Give me the new anime, please. But yeah, oh man, this, why does this take forever to load? There it goes. Well, that's a bit much. Okay, there we go. News about kids. Ooh, interesting. News. Let's see what the news says. News coming soon. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I get that with Blade and Soul, this one online MMORPG, and they still have not updated in the last 2 years, so I'm giving up on Bless you. Bless you.
Excuse.
Bless you.
Thank you. I'm gonna feel awful. But all right, well, this site looks okay. Let's see. Well, let me take a look. Introduction. It's not translating the introduction. What the heck? Yeah, I see what you mean. Never mind. All right, and I think that's it for the news, isn't it?
Yep.
All right, then let's go ahead, and we are going to get into the next section, which will be our review of Fairy Tail Volume 34, the most recent manga to come out. And at the very same time, right after that, we'll be reviewing volumes 4, 5, and 6 of One Piece.
Oh crap, I forgot I actually agreed to that.
Yeah, you actually do need to read those. All
Right.
right, well, we'll all see you there in the next segment. All right, it is time for us to discuss Fairy Tail Volume 34, the latest release for Fairy Tail. And let's see, so this one picks up where the last one left off with Natsu attacking Sabretooth, but the fight is pretty short as we are introduced to the new character, Minerva, the daughter of the master of Sabretooth.
I don't
And
like.
well, yeah, we'll see why later on in this volume. But essentially, we have, well, yeah, basically the rest of the volume is a lot of them kind of. Well, you have the one scene with Erza where she takes on all of the monsters at once and wins. And everyone's like, oh, I cry because this is meaningful or something. I don't know. And I'm just sitting there and it's like, wow, that's way to overpower your character, Mashima, but okay. And then go from there to the individual battles, which I don't know, doesn't
Oh
really.
yeah, that one battle that pretty much they had to use to decide the other because Erza just took all the other ones in the first one that they had
Oh
for the
yeah.
day,
Yeah.
and they were like okay, and then all of a sudden everybody took their turns and they got certain like power levels or whatever. It's basically it was kind of it wasn't based on power. It was more like I don't know something like some I don't know how it was ranked, but then kind of just went and used like fairy glitter or something.
Yeah, that was,
I
yeah,
was like,
they,
what the heck? That's cheating.
yeah, they basically, yeah, they were basically doing this thing where they were testing, testing everyone's power levels by having them attack this thing. And Kana basically, yeah, she uses fairy glitter and just destroys. And I love the way, yeah, I love the way Mavis is like, I lent it to her this special time so we can win.
Michael's like, ah!
Yeah, it
Like,
wasn't easy.
is that cheating? It's not cheating if we win.
It's kind of like, what the crap? And then from there's a lot of individual fights with characters that don't really matter at first. But we do get a, let's see, no, that's not yet. We get the fight between between Luxus and the one dude from Raventail, who turns out to be Ivan. And actually, everyone, the fight that we see isn't actually the real fight. It's an illusion that everyone's seeing, and Luxus ends up being confronted by the entire Raventail Guild.
Because that's who they are. Anti
Yeah.
fairy tale. So it's
Yep.
like, oh, we're anti fairy tale. We don't care about losing. We don't care about losing everyone else. We just want to beat the crap out of you. I'm like, dude, you're just being bullies.
Yeah, it's very much they're all just kind of like, hey, we're gonna try to get you to come over to our side, and we're gonna gang up to do that. And yeah, Luxus basically trashes the entire guild, or
Yeah,
the
that was
entire
fun.
five members. And I was just and they get arrested, and I was kind of thinking, well, that's kind of anticlimactic,
Yeah.
considering these guys were being built up to be the most dangerous threat. So I'm not sure what's up with that. But yeah, and then we had the fight between Wendy and Shelia, where we find out that Shelia is a wind god slayer. I'm not even going to complain about this because the character is so just ridiculous and
Okay,
pointless.
Chelya is basically considered a Dojiko, which is a clumsy and cute girl type archetype, girl, archetype. Where, they're the type that looks all cute and then they do something, then they fall down or something and go, owie, and that stuff. That kind of.
Yeah, it's annoying as hell, and honestly,
I could have actually been okay with that if it wasn't for the whole, oh, she's actually another god. So I'm like, oh my God.
indeed. No, but it's, I don't know, I get tired of arguing or just complaining about why is a god slayer a thing. It just doesn't seem like it's necessary, and yet Mashima continues to use it. And it's like two new characters this time around that we find out are, well, I mean, in this arc that we find out are God Slayers. And yeah, I don't know what the point is. It's supposed to be this whole, oh yeah, this magic is dark because, you can use it to slay a god and the magic is black and it's evil and everything. But then we got
Clumsy
like two
God.
non-evil characters that have it. And I don't know. It's
Yeah, I get
weird.
it. I don't even know what that movie is doing. I
Yeah, and
mean,
it's.
clearly he's having fun, but at the same time, there's a thing to having fun and knowing what the heck you're doing having fun.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. But we do have Jalal, who suspects that Chelia is connected, or Sharia, as her name actually is connected to Zaref. He suspects it, at least. But then we see that Doran Bolt suspects Jalal of being Jalal because he's saying, hey, Mistle Gun shouldn't even be here on in this world. But yeah, so Jalal has to kind of pay attention and get away. But yeah, the fight between, yeah man, this takes a long time, but the two of them basically end up, let's see, what was it, they end up tying. Yeah. So it ends in a draw, which they're sort of like, oh, let's be friends. I'm like, no, ignore this character, dang it. Oh well.
When he needs a friend, let's
Yes.
have that. Let's have that cute wind god Dragon Slayer girl be your friend. I'm like, no,
Yeah.
no, no.
Indeed. Yeah.
Also, it was kind of interesting how that part where how Delilah was pretty much was a crimson. So she is that what they call the guild, the whole guild that that tries to atone for their sins.
Oh, Cream Sorcière.
Crimson Associate, yeah, like that. Man, I didn't want to say that. Anyway, Cream Saucier, The part where Gilao's cover almost gets blown, and Yajima just comes over to cover him. Like, ah, it's okay, Mr. Gun. Now it's okay. You know, this is the reason why he covered his face up. And I was like, huh? But then Yajima's like, you know what? You better get out of here because I'm not coming for you again.
Yeah,
Like, bam. That's
that
it.
was kind of, I did like that the way, they're like, well, yeah, he's covering his face. Why the crap do you think he covers his face? Because he looks like a terrorist. That's like as if someone that looked like an identical clone of Bin Laden decided to have a long beard. It would just be the dumbest thing that person could ever do. They'd be like, I'm gonna keep my beard, keep stay shaved and keep my beard short. That's probably a better idea for me.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and but basically that scene serves to reveal to a lot of people that yeah, Jalal, he's here. He's a problem.
Dagger was like, freaking, he was almost catatonic or something like that. And put him like, feel like he was about to just tear him apart.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is very much the scene that is kind of the turning point for a lot of these characters because yeah, they are all these characters that have a gripe against Jalal are discovering that hey, he's here. And so they're just kind of thinking it's like, yeah. And of course, the council members aren't actually fooled. They're just like, yeah, that's the real one. We're letting him leave to protect Yajima's reputation, but yeah, it's totally him. And then from there, we have like a bit of a discussion about, the, what was it?
Human
The
history.
Lumen Histoire, where it's basically the secret history of fairy tale. And we also have a bit more ship baiting between Elfman and Evergreen, which, yeah, I think I kind of enjoyed the little bit, the transition. But yeah, it's like, but even with their power, Elfman isn't recovering at all. It's like, how pathetic, huh? And Elfman does the whole sneezing thing. It's like, damn it, I just know somebody's talking about a man. I swear. Okay, you know what the what is it? Bechdel test is?
I know about that.
Yeah. Okay, you can talk up a little bit.
Oh man, I'm trying to fix my sound here because you always complain about how loud I'm being.
Well, now I can't hear you
I'm
at
being
all.
loud now? Okay, now I can't hear me. What the heck? Am I coming out like a mouse or something?
You sound very quiet.
Holy crap,
Okay,
fine,
there
yeah.
we go. There. That's it.
Good. I'm playing
S
in the middle.
stay there. Yeah, stay there, but don't be all, I'm talking loud! Because that
Sorry,
distorts the audio, but don't be all, I'm talking and, hey, there's a co-host on this podcast. You just can't hear him. Okay, don't be like that, but
that just
don't
makes
be.
it hard for me to gauge my own voice, okay?
This is good. You're not being too loud. Okay, I think we're pretty much equal now.
I hope I don't get a microphone.
Oh, jeez. I think a microphone would actually help. But yeah, we're pretty equal now. I think we've. Anyway, back to the manga with that little interruption that I am in no way cutting out.
Go ahead.
But yeah, so basically, yeah, we get some more ship baiting between Elfman and Evergreen because she's stayed by his side and she's even fallen asleep. Leaning against the bed. And it's cute in a way. I don't know. It's like one of those things that Mashima does that I actually really like still. Because, he does a lot of stupid stuff. And sometimes with he does, but I feel that you can trust him pretty well for doing romances that aren't terrible. And this one's kind of entertaining. And I actually like the official translation because when I first read this chapter was before Crunchyroll started up, and the translation of Elfman's last line was like, "That's a woman," and it just seems like such a weird line, Like he's like, "Yes, Elfman, there are men, and there are women, and that's a woman," but here it's translated to "What a woman," which works a lot better. It makes him seem like less of a dunce. But yeah. Oh yeah, also I was saying, the Bechdel test, right?
Yeah.
How, yeah, so for those of our listeners that don't know, it's basically what it is You take any scene that involves just two, that involves two or more women, and they pass the Bechdel test if they talk about something that doesn't involve a man. And a lot of times, pretty much most movies will fail that because, or, you know, TV shows, because the women will, when they're alone, a lot of times they will be talking about the male characters, you know, and whoever's romantically involved in anything. But yeah, a lot of times the conversation just comes around to men. Elfman is capable of failing this test on his own despite not being a woman. He's just like, he's like, I just know somebody's talking about a man, and now I'm talking about a man because man. Like, his every dialogue he has is failing that test.
That's true.
Yep, and let's see, so there's more partying and kind of more, oh, look, we're setting up stuff and Kino is now in the army or something. I don't
Wait,
recall.
was she always part of the army, or was she just?
I think she just joined it, you know, because her distress at being kicked out from Sabretooth was pretty legit. I don't think it was, oh, I was a member of Sabretooth investigating them. I think it was afterwards she decided, I'm going to join the army now.
Get kicked out of the club, join the army. That's the way to go.
Pretty much. And then the last chapter is the battle in the water sphere, where
Yeah.
you'd think, yeah, you'd think that Juvia would have the advantage, or Lucy, because she has Aquarius. And at first, Lucy, you know, has the advantage, but then Aquarius is like, I'm gonna leave now. I have a date. And then, yeah, Lucy still manages to stay in, but Juvia does, yeah.
Started off as a
So,
bit of a fan servicey type of chapter, you know, like, oh, look, all the girls, it's all girls and slinks, and then there's that one cocktail puppy guy by it, but
yeah, where
guy.
he gets knocked out real quick. And we discover that the one mermaid heel member, the chubby one, turns out that her magic involves becoming not chubby.
I think she did that before we saw it,
Did
you know,
she? It's
and
been a
Harry.
couple. It's been a while. I can't remember.
I remember the cherry race.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. But yeah,
Don't
Juvia.
Chubby. I'm like, okay, I won't ever say Chubby. Stop saying that. It's getting on my nerves. But
Indeed.
yes, it's a thing, my friend.
Yeah, but pretty much Juvia knocks every three of the people out. Was it Sharia, the one lady, the formerly chubby one, and then
Oh, Jenny,
Jenny as well? Yeah.
Sharia, and Chubby.
Yeah,
What's her
whatever her name, yeah, I can't remember. But
Doesn't
yeah, and the only ones left are Minerva, Lucy, and Juvia. And somehow Juvia ended up outside the arena.
you guys, you all look gray, and oh my
Yeah, I love
god.
that. It's like, are you looking at Juvia with wonder and love, Gray Sama? And he's just staring, is like, what the crap? And she's like, he's pulling back in revulsion, and then you find out that the reason for it is she managed to knock herself out of the ring. And then it's down to Lucy and Minerva. And from there, it basically turns into Minerva beats up on Lucy like hardcore. She's just won't even let her out of the arena. She just keeps her inside so she can keep beating on her. And I'm just, yeah, until she's basically broken her, and then she just holds her outside the water. But I, okay, now here's my problem with this. Was nobody, was really, was there, is this isn't against the rules? Like, I'm pretty sure that there's,
Five-minute thingy going on, you know, when there's only two left, there's like a 5-minute time limit left, I can
yeah,
say.
it's like they're trying to, yeah, it's like they call the match, they stop the match and everything because they're just like, oh, well, what's his face, Arcanos or whatever the captain of the guard
Betty.
is. Yeah, basically he calls it because he needs Lucy as the celestial wizard, but so he calls the match. But then nobody penalizes Sabretooth at all.
Yeah,
Like, you know, that this is basically as if you take an MMA fight, and then one of the contestants decides to somehow basically just torture their opponent while keeping the fight going. Like, if they just decided they're going to start, poking their eyes out, pulling their ears off, and breaking their teeth out and stuff in the middle of the fight, and then nobody calls the match and then, arrests the guy. And in this case, it's just, okay, I don't see how the fights, the rules and the fights can allow for someone to do something, to basically torture their opponent and very clearly and deliberately keep them in the ring so they can continue torturing them and still be allowed to compete. It's kind of like she should have been kicked out. In fact, I'm pretty sure this would be grounds for arresting most of the guild.
Well, here's kind of something interesting I just noticed. Like, you know how Lucy always gets that whole, oh, you're not sexy enough or you're not whatever and you must pull it out like that, but everybody like never seems like to really care about her in the series almost, except for Fairy Tail and some of their friends. But like, there was a part where the audience were saying, oh, we wanted Wendy over Lucy. I'm like, man, that's
Oh,
right. It's like,
you freaking pedophiles.
I know, and then when I look at it, I'm like, you know what? This is probably why they just let Lucy get her butt kicked. It's like, we don't
Yeah.
care. I'm like, oh, but no,
I don't know,
I'm probably saying like,
that doesn't really match up for me because I don't know. It's just, you'd think any reasonable human being would be like, "Hey, let's stop this match."
yes.
Oh, whatever you did, stop it.
Oh, sorry.
And we've got background noise. Like, serious buzzing and
Really?
fuzziness. What the hell
I'm
is
just trying
wrong
to
here? And
get something out of my screen.
I, whatever you're doing, stop it because it's really
Jeez.
noisy.
I didn't know that name.
And I, ah, oh, jeez, I don't know what's going on here.
Okay, we were just talking about how the whole, how what Minerva did should have been grounds for pretty much getting kicked out.
Right, yeah, well, I don't know. I don't have anything else to add to that.
This is why I hate her. This is why,
Well,
her and her, Gamma's her dad, right? The Sabertooth Guild leader.
yeah, he is. It's, I don't know. It's very much. I don't know. What were you gonna say? I got nothing. I don't care about her.
But there was something else I was wanting to say when she first appeared, how she was saying, oh, if a fight would happen between Fairy Tail and Sabertooth,
Yeah.
Sabertooth beats up. I'm like, if your guild, if wouldn't it be like the other way around where if but basically they were saying like wait, check, I had it, and this is very interesting personally.
Right.
Basically, Natsu and Gamma were gonna fight, but then Minerva intervenes and points out that Natsu would lose to Gamma, it would make Sabertooth look bad. I'm pretty much going, why would they care?
Yeah, it, well, I don't know. I think it would look bad and they would care because, at the moment they're ahead. So, I don't know. I guess it could look like they're bullying
But it would make
the other
Fairy Tail
guild.
look more bad.
Well, I don't know.
Because,
That's.
he actually went and attacked us first. I mean, Natsu went into the guild first.
Well, I
He
think.
did that.
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, she does say, even though he attacked us first, a guild master fighting a regular member of another guild is what would look bad. And she just didn't want to fight at all because, just easier to avoid all that trouble.
Oh
But
yeah, that is the best fight won is the fight of it's a fight never fought.
pretty much, yeah. And they do manage to win by, forcing Natsu to give up the fight. So that's kind of the point. But
Yeah, so what do you think overall of this volume?
I think this volume overall, it's better than last month's.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, last month just didn't have anything for me to focus on. This month had a couple things for me to enjoy. I mean, granted, the fight between Luxus and Raventail was actually really, really, really stupid.
Really stupid.
But yeah, and the Sharia stuff is like, that's also stupid. But and the fight with how blatantly evil Sabretooth is kind of dumb. But I don't know, it's kind of like overall I enjoyed it a bit more, but I'm not sure why. I can't even remember why I hated last month so much.
The first chapter of volume 34, because at the very end it made Sting and Ro be like, huh, comrades, I see
Yeah, that
that. I'm
was.
like, then you figured out that guilds are kind of generally like that.
Yeah, that was kind of odd. I guess it's kind of like they don't have an understanding of what a guild is meant to be, which if this is the only guild they've been in, that makes sense.
That would make sense.
But yeah, and all right, let's go ahead and okay. I think it's time to talk about One Piece. All right, it is time to talk about One Piece Volume 4. And all right, so this volume is basically the fight against Kuro from not beginning to end,
It's
but
like the middle, like they're starting to get into the fights, I believe.
yeah, well, it is, they kind of Usopp's pretty beat up pretty bad. They still have the specialist fighters in the Black Cat Pirates, but for the most part they've gone through the "we will defend this part of the island." Oh wait, we're on the wrong side of the island.
Oh yeah, that was interesting because how's the thing? But I thought they would be, oh, I thought they would be here because they made their meeting. I'm like, you know what? That actually makes sense. I would have thought that too.
Yeah, it's yeah, and we also, let's see, we go through the whole Luffy is out of commission, which, yeah, that, hope you like that, because that's going to happen a lot in One Piece, Luffy being stuck somewhere.
In
Though I
general,
will,
we arrive late. That's usually how it works.
yeah, well, I do, yeah, the way he gets stuck can be really annoying, but yeah, I kind of like the way they, yeah, the way they wake him up is amusing, with Nami stepping on his face.
Like, why'd you step on my face?
Yeah, and then he gets hit in the head with the shock rom, and he's like, "Nami, that hurts." And she's like, "That wasn't me."
Like, where's the chakra of Nami?
Yeah. And yeah, and it basically, Nami's pretty injured pretty bad there, and she's out of commission for the rest of the fight. And
Anyway.
yeah, Kuro shows up. He kind of makes short work of everyone else, except Zoro and Luffy are kind of still around, and they're going to be basically the ones to finish the fight.
Oh yeah.
So.
Volume 4. There was something interesting. Okay, this is basically where we generally get where we generally see someone that's not the Straw Hat, and they get injured really badly.
Yeah.
And still live. Becomes a running gag to a certain part. Far, far in the future.
Indeed, yeah, it's, this volume is, I'm kind of trying to think, how do I feel about this volume?
It
It
was all.
does, yeah, it does introduce some of the annoying parts of One Piece, like Luffy getting stuck
Yeah.
in something, but I do kind of like the way it builds the fight while still building the rest of the story, and it also manages to, kind of, it flows pretty well, I find. We get Zoro again. He gets another handicap, except this time it's not so much that he's injured, it's more that, well, he does get injured, but it's more that he doesn't have
Bye.
his all three of his swords, which that kind of, if you compare Zoro now to Zoro then, or well, Zoro right now in Volume 4 compared to Zoro later on, it's kind of an amusing thought that he would be handicapped that badly by just using one sword, because later on that really doesn't matter, and he actually fights with just one sword. And it's that's really what I love about his fights, and even this one, is that you really see the progression. First, you see how he's really strong because he uses three swords, but then later on you see that he's not quite as good with just one sword as he needs to be.
Yeah.
So, because it's kind of like now, because like early on here, it's very much Zoro's gimmick with the three swords is very much That's his thing. That's what we focus on. Later on, it's not focused on quite as much. He still has them. He still uses them, but more often than not, you'll see him using two swords instead of three. So you kind of get to see how he's matured as a fighter. And a lot of times you'll see him using just one sword, which I think, yeah, here it definitely shows how big of a handicap it is that he's only really good with three swords. With just one sword, he's severely limited. Which I kind of like that about the beginning of One Piece, just the way it shows, the way it shows how important Zoro's gimmick is, and then as time goes by, you see how he's able to, fight without relying on it that much. So I really enjoy that, and
I
that's
mean, his goal to become the world's greatest sword and not become the world's greatest three sword swordsman.
pretty much. So
He got priorities right at least, but there were some interesting things. I mean, it's a little minor, but when I saw Mary and just thought about Moji, I was like, I want those two to know each other. They're like similar hairstyles.
yeah, they got kind of that, animal fur as hair kind of thing
Yeah.
going on, which I think is kind of interesting
That's cool. And then
indeed.
there was a bit where Kuro swears using Neptune, and I'm like, well, that's interesting, because we're gonna hear the alternate name of that later on a lot.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I hadn't noticed that as much. Mostly, kind of, I was focusing on the fights and everything. But yeah, this
Well, I
volume,
mentioned, oh, sorry,
yeah,
I
this,
Fight time.
yeah, this volume is basically one large fight. And it also introduces in chapter 35, it introduces a part of One Piece that is very, becomes a staple for the series and one of the more clever parts of Oda's storytelling, where we get to see the first installment of Adventures of Buggy's Crew, where we
Oh,
basically
yeah.
see what happened to Buggy and his crew after Luffy defeated him.
Probably got an eye patch.
Yeah,
That's
just,
hilarious.
yeah, I like, I very, yeah, I like that because that introduces the one of the best parts of what helps Oda enrich his series by allowing us to see these characters after they've left the story, and we kind of are still able to get an idea of what their deal is.
Could have worked if Kishimoto did that with Sasuke and the other characters.
That would have been better actually,
It would have been
because
better,
we
but
wouldn't have
then
had to focus on the bastard.
the thing is, these whole side stories as cover chapters, it's kind of Oda's gimmick, so I don't know if we're
Yeah.
going to pay
Well,
attention
if someone did it now, I'd be like, "Oh, you thieves." But yeah, comparatively, it's yeah, not as,
that. Well, we are all imitators,
pretty
first
much, yeah.
thing.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to Volume 5, where we get the rest of the fight. Luffy, basically just all Luffy versus Kuro, and as well as Kaya trying to escape from Django. Which that one basically ends up with Usopp and Zoro going after them and managing to take out Django with Usopp's slingshot. And we, other than that, we kind of get the fight between Luffy and Kuro is very much one of those ones where it's the first serious threat that doesn't have a devil fruit. So we're introduced to the idea that people can be strong without devil fruits, because starting off, Alvida and Morgan were pretty pathetic.
They were.
And Buggy was dangerous, not because he's a strong fighter, but because of his power. And here we got Kuro, who is like one of the first enemies that, he's dangerous because he's a strong fighter and he's really fast.
And he has the brains.
Indeed, yeah, he's very much a strategist. He kind of, but he's still really tough. But in the end, Luffy's brawn basically allows him to take out Kuro after beating on him for, after incapacitating him and beating on him. And I really like the way you've got, it's not a two-page spread, but it's two pages that open up to each other where, Usopp shoots Django in the face and Luffy headbutts Kuro, and basically both taking them out.
Simultaneously.
Yep. And there's also one thing that I think I find worth pointing out is that there's some character sketches. Yeah, there's some character sketches for stuff where I'm just thinking, oh man, I didn't notice these before. What's up with these sketches? But you get basically got some. Oh, wait a minute. You've got. Oh, hey, look at that. You've got the design for that pirate Gunzak, which I
That's
believe.
that from the first movie.
Yeah, was that the first movie or the first OVA?
Okay, OVA.
Yeah, okay, that's what that was from, because I was seeing like sketches for like the dragon thing, and I was like, wait, what's this from? And I don't think I've seen that OVA yet. We also see like the sketches for that little girl, which I'm like, oh, hey, that's. Now I'm like, oh, right, that makes sense. But yeah, basically, they defeat Kuro. Kaya gives Luffy and crew a ship, and then Usopp ends up coming with them. And yeah, it's basically the first half is beating Kuro and Django, and then the second half is the wrap up.
You didn't mention a bit about how cool, talking about how he was 2 years and
Oh
how
yeah, we do get
certain
a
character
yeah, we
looks
do
like.
get his backstory. With how, he had the basically he tricked the Navy into thinking that he was dead by hypnotizing one of the Marines into believing he'd killed Captain Kuro, and he hypnotized one of his own men into believing he was Captain Kuro.
Yeah.
And yeah, oh no, yeah, one thing that that I kind of like, we have like that little at the end of the fight, we have the little talk between Luffy and Nami with how how she's kind of asking, what on earth made you so mad? And Luffy's just like, I hate these guys. And she says, well, they're pirates. What'd you expect? And he's like, a steak would be nice. She's like, of course. Yeah, and yeah, we and then yeah, from there on, it's basically, oh yeah, hey, we got a ship now. We're leaving. And then they're on the ship, and they Usopp turns out to be the best artist of the group, and he makes the. Well, first Luffy d makes his flag, and it's like the most terrible thing ever.
Well, it's the scariest thing because it's supposed to inspire terror. They saw that
Yeah.
guy. I don't want to be near those people.
Yeah, and I like Usopp, who just calls it for what it is. It's like, this guy's a little low on design sense, and Nami is the only one giving him the benefit of the doubt. She's like, or is it avant-garde? Which is.
It's sort of like I think it was inspired terror, so
And this is pretty
it's scary.
scary. Yeah. And then, of course, Usopp makes his own flag, and everyone's like, that's not our emblem. And then Usopp basically just does the famous Straw Hat logo. And, yep, they paint it on their flag and on their sail. And from there, they kind of play around with the cannons, experiment, find out that Usopp is good with cannons as well. And then we get introduced to Johnny and Yosaku, who are bounty hunters that Zoro knows, and it turns out that Luffy and Usopp accidentally shot Yosaku.
Yeah.
And this is also where we find out that, hey, scurvy is a thing. Here, have some citrus. And yeah, they basically just force citrus down him, and he recover force lime juice down him, and he recovers almost immediately.
But it doesn't work fast enough, is it cool?
Yeah, Nami's like, you're not well enough to dance. And we basically, I always remember this stood out to me because it really was nice the way it sort of points out, hey, this is, health concerns are a very important concern when traveling the seven seas, because if you get sick, you're probably not going to survive. You need to get proper nutrition and everything. And so, yeah, the whole idea of scurvy never comes up again. Mostly because they deal with it pretty quickly as we get introduced to Sanji and Chef Zeff in the Baratie restaurant, where Luffy ends up getting forced into working there, and Sanji is like the, what is it? He's the sous chef?
Is the assistant.
Assistant chef, right.
But what's Susha?
Well, sous chef is basically an assistant chef.
Oh, okay. That's Susha then.
Yeah, but yeah, he's the assistant, and Yeah, we have kind of a bit of a conflict between Sanji and the lieutenant, Marine lieutenant, who are this is kind of weird. The translation that I get for the original, the run before the speed up, is they called Lieutenant Iron Fist Fullbody, Minister of the Navy.
Oh, what minister of the navy?
Was that in your version?
It's my version too.
And I'm just like, is he like a religious dude or something? What is this? But yeah, basically he
Oh, yeah.
tries to, act all like he knows everything, and then Sanji gets pissed at him and beats him up. And then we've got a pirate. Yeah, this prisoner escaped from the marine ship, and he's always like, "Hey, give me some food." And then he threatens them, and Patty, the chef with the giant Popeye arms, just beats him up and throws him out. And then Sanji feeds him because Sanji's like, "Yeah, I know what it feels like to starve. So, yeah, I'm not gonna leave you hanging here."
Welcome, Squid Face. Come
Yeah.
again yesterday. Pardon, Monsieur. That'll be 10,000 berries, sucker.
Yeah, I think one thing that I really enjoyed, that I really thought was funny, was that out of all the designs that Oda has done, Patty really looks the most like a Disney character.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's like, every time I see him, I'm just like, his facial expressions look, yeah, they just look so much like some kind of a
Genie.
Disney design. And also the one on the page, let's see, what was it, page, oh, where are the page numbers? Page 175, when Patty's
Yeah,
making the faces. The
that one.
one where in the right in the middle where it says "Pardon, Monsieur," I swear he kind of reminds me of Shiki with his expression there. Golden Lion Shiki.
Yeah, but I don't see it.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I'll think of a Disney character. I'll think of Genie.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That too. But yeah. So with this one, we have two things to talk about: the end of the Kuro arc. And then the beginning of the Baratie arc. So, like,
Baratie?
yeah.
Oh, French. Okay, French.
But we kind of start with the end of the Kuro fight. I know a lot of people don't like this fight, but I don't know. I kind of like it. I still like Kuro.
Grew on me finally.
Yeah. I do kind of like it. It's not my favorite, obviously, but out of the beginning ones, it's one of the ones that I've watched the most, and I don't mind it. I kind of like the what it does with the characters, just the way the interaction between the like Luffy, Nami, and Zoro, and then Usopp later on. It's just kind of really enjoyable, and I don't know, Usopp's farewell and the way, when he leaves is actually really touching, and one of the first times that we really get this sense of, yeah, this is a pretty emotional scene. It doesn't make me cry, but at the same time, it's still really
The
nice.
farewell or the backstory?
The farewell, I think, is it's mostly it's just very, pretty well done. I think the beginning of the Baratie arc, I kind of like it. Up to this point, I like it. It gets later on, it gets tedious, and I don't like it. But the early part, I kind of like. It's just a I don't know. I think if I had one criticism of this arc, it's that outside of the little interruption with Johnny and Yosaku, it definitely feels like Oda might have been rushing things at this point. You know what I mean? Because with once we, I mean, with Zoro, he got a Zoro, and it doesn't feel quite so rushed when they go get Nami because, it just. Two main characters just kind of two characters is not quite enough of a cast. So with three, you can kind of have the sort of the classic two guys and one girl cast,
That's true.
which kind of works. So getting them those three together makes them feel pretty complete. And then the taking like an in-between story with Gaimon works really well, and then moving on to Usopp. But going directly from Usopp to getting Sanji, I don't know. It feels like it may have been a little rushed. Like we didn't quite get that extra chapter that we needed to sort of get to really sort of get introduced or to have Usopp interacting with them outside of his initial introduction.
Okay, actually, the thing about the Gaimon thing, I think Zoro was just sleeping most of the time when he met him. So was just sleeping, non-human Gaimon.
True, true.
So, still, that was actually good because it's like,
Yeah.
it kind of opened up some things about, some things we're gonna learn later on about other stuff and, how Gaimon used to be part of some sort of pirate crew. Most were probably wondering, I wonder who that pirate crew was.
Yeah.
I don't know who that captain was.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and
Maybe
I
20.
also,
Oh.
yeah, also one thing that I think is worth pointing out is that this volume is also the time when, yeah, I thought that was interesting, was when Nami sees that wanted poster,
Yeah.
and then she reacts to it, and sort of like she's being all like, tense and everything. And we find out what that is about later on, but at the same time, I kind of think, did she really forget her backstory and had to be reminded by that, or was it meant to be more of a she was trying to avoid going back as much as possible because she actually did enjoy being around Luffy and everyone else? It's like, was that how it was meant to read? I don't know. It
I think
seemed
we're gonna.
kind of odd that she would have a moment where she's like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing this thing. As I kind of would have thought that she'd have been thinking about it all the time, but I guess it does is meant to kind of show that she was legitimately feeling connected with the crew.
Her illusion of reality was shattered once he saw that poster, right?
Well, I don't know. That's my argument, is that I'm pretty sure she would be remembering it. It's not like she's gonna forget about that person. But all right, I think that's about it for
Well, there's
volume.
one thing I want to point out. In the chapter where it's talking to Sanji, a little trivia, it turns out that Sanji's original name, one of his original older names was supposed to be Naruto.
Oh, yeah, that would have been
Yes.
terrible. But then Naruto came out, and yeah,
Then
pretty
Naruto
much.
would be called something else.
Yeah, that,
Not
man,
bad.
that'd be weird. But yeah, we also continue the Buggy story, which, nothing that I, wait, where is it? There we go. All right, yeah, nothing that I really find that's, all that important to think about. Or actually, wait a minute. It's not entirely the Buggy. Yeah, it's not entirely the Buggy story. There's, well, it kind of goes up to him being captured by a bird, and then the bird spits him out, and that's kind of where it lays off. So, and that was kind of amusing. The bird's like, "I'm gonna eat you." It's like, "Ah, gross! You taste nasty." All right, and then let's move on to One Piece Volume 6, which may not be my favorite volume, but it does have my favorite cover design.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's completely black, and that goes well with the yellow and the gold. And then the characters are all wearing black suits and a black dress in Nami's case. And I'm just like, this just looks stylish. I like a lot. And yep, so we pick things up from there with Luffy deciding that Sanji needs to be his chef.
I like that part where he says, "No, I decline." What? Decline what? I
Yeah.
decline your declination.
Yeah. And we also, yeah, that was really amusing. And man, it is kind of funny how Sanji like throws the plate and the spoon overboard, and he's like, "Free meal, where's the proof?" And I'm just like, "Yeah, you won't waste food, but you will waste the silverware." Let's see. And yeah, so basically from there on, we go and Gin, the pirate that escaped from Full Body's custody, tells his commander, Don Krieg, about the restaurant, and Don Krieg says, "I need a ship, so I'm going to take your ship." They try to fight him off, but he's wearing armor that makes him basically invincible. And yeah, Zeff says, like, "Oh yeah, I'll give you food, feed your men." And then after that, Don Krieg, yeah, he's like, "Oh hey, I recognize you." And he's like, I want your logbook so that I can actually travel through, the Grand Line without, without getting killed. And then after that, he decides, "I'm gonna take this boat." And
I hate Don.
yeah, that is definitely one of the things about him that's really annoying, is like, he's one of those characters that He talks big, but in the end, he's not actually that tough.
I
Like
thought
he's.
Morgan was worse. Morgan's like, I'm great. Okay, you're great. Whatever. Every Terry Don Krieg and Morgan are almost similar, but Don Krieg is worse because, like you say, he talks big, and he does have some things to show off. But when it comes, but then the others who are stronger, they just freaking put him in his place.
Well, yeah, and even his strength is a sign of weakness. It's kind of like with Erza in Fairy Tail, where ultimately the fact that she covered herself in armor was to hide her weakness because she was, emotionally traumatized from her past. With Don Krieg, it's basically, yeah, he's strong, but take away his armor and he's not strong anymore. And ultimately, that's what comes out in his physicality as well as, just his general attitude, where he is, he's too weak to do it all on his own. He needs to cheat, find other ways to conquer the Grand Line. And then, of course, as he starts to attack, his ship gets cut in half, and we are introduced to Mihawk, one of the seven warlords. We also find out that the Going Merry is gone, that Nami kicked Johnny and Yosaku overboard, and she sailed off with the ship and the treasure. And yeah, and then we're just like, oh, Nami, you jerk. How dare you?
You want to say the B word, weren't you?
I was not.
Yeah, you were.
I was not.
Everyone mostly tried to say that, but then they were like, no.
No, jerk applies in this situation. She, yeah, and yeah, we get a little bit of a sort of see how it, how she was able to escape. She basically is like, oh, I want to change clothes. Don't look. They turn around, and she knocks them over the side, and she's like, oh, hey, it's like I'm just doing my job. I rob pirates, and this ship is mine. And yep, and she basically escapes, and Zoro and Usopp are all pissed. And Luffy doesn't get angry, and he's like, oh, hey, I can still see the ship. And so he has Zoro and Usopp take the, take Johnny and Yosaku's ship to go after Nami. And he's like insisting that she's going to be their navigator. They're not going to, they're not going to ha take anyone else. And Luffy isn't going to go with them, with the four of them, because, he needs to protect the Baratie, and he still wants to get Sanji. And yeah, and then we find out that, yeah, we have Mihawk, who is the greatest swordsman in the world. And Zoro is always like, oh, this is the guy that I wanted to, like, I need to defeat him to become the greatest swordsman. So yeah, he uses this opportunity to fight Mihawk, and he gets his butt handed to him. Like, severely. Mihawk doesn't even need to use a big his sword, he just uses this dagger. And then in the end, yeah,
I love the part where pretty much Mihawk disappeared before Don Krieg's crew, and they're like, "What? He's still following us." He's like, "Fun."
yeah, he's just like, yeah, I'm just messing with you. And then, yeah, and then he ends up, as a sign of respect to Zoro, he uses his actual, his actual sword, not his
Oh.
dagger, and he breaks two of Zoro's swords and slices him through the gut, and then he slices him right across the chest. And I mean, this is just a great scene, because you've got Zoro, who is stealing all the great scenes in this series now, right at the moment. But
What about that one tsunami?
after, well, we'll get right back to that. But I'm just gonna focus on Zoro. But yeah, Zoro's swords are broken. He sheathes his remaining sword, the one he got from Kuina, and then he just turns around and just completely offers himself. And he's like, Mihawk is like, "What are you?" And Zoro says, "Wounds on the back are a swordsman. Wounds on the back are a swordsman's shame." And Mihawk is like, "You're magnificent," and just slashes him across the chest in a way that would most certainly kill him. But Zoro survives.
That becomes a thing with Zoro from then on.
Yeah. And then Zoro, yeah, and Mihawk is like, oh, you, is like, survive and surpass me. And Zoro is badly injured and falls into the water. And I'm like, oh gosh, bad enough that he's bleeding profusely, but then he falls into salt water.
So, oh yeah,
And I'm
salt.
like, that would sting. And yeah, Luffy tries to fight Mihawk. But Mihawk is like, oh, don't worry, I left him alive. And Zoro was like, I was like, I'm, oh, right. Yeah, and it's like Mihawk is like, I will await you at the top. Strive to surpass me, Roronoa Zoro. And yeah, so it's a really great moment. And then Zoro, of course, does his pledge to Luffy, where he's like, he basically says like, I will never lose again. Is like, from now to the day that I beat him to become the greatest swordsman, I will never lose again. And I'm trying to think.
That was great. That was Zoro's moment right there. This
Yeah.
volume was from Zoro's moment.
Yeah, this is definitely, this volume is still really good, even though it's in an arc that I don't like so much. And after Mihawk leaves, we start the fight against Don Krieg, which for the most part it's okay,
Terrible.
but it's okay for this part, but it will get worse the next volume. But the fact that we get so much focus on Zoro and Mihawk, and then the introduction of Don Krieg and everything, is that all that stuff is good. And the parts with Luffy being a busboy are really entertaining.
Yeah.
And but yeah, the highlight of the arc is definitely Zoro swearing he will never lose again. And I'm trying to think.
Something else you want to mention?
Well, no, I'll get to that. I'm just trying to think forward. I don't recall whether Zoro was able to keep that promise, because if nothing else,
Okay,
he was defeated by the Pacifista.
Pacifista, but there's also the Water Seven arc where basically they were trying to it's fun to spoil this, right? I mean, everybody should know this, right? I
Well,
mean,
yeah, well, we need to keep it. Yeah, actually, we need to keep it down as much as possible.
yeah, okay.
I
Well,
think
yeah,
for the most
Water
part,
Seven.
he doesn't lose when it's important. Like, the final fights, in the end, he always comes up on top.
That's true.
But there are some, setbacks, but he's never really beaten this badly and is unable to fight. It's more like he gets knocked out of the way and stuck somewhere, and then he gets lost, and he has to find his way back to defeat his opponent. Although, wait.
See, yeah,
No,
when it comes.
he does get,
Go ahead.
that is, yeah, he does lose against Enaru.
Oh yeah,
I
that's
mean,
true.
he does it in a badass way, but he's still defeated. So, well, I don't know. He never
Oh
loses
yeah,
against
that's
the
right.
people that he's meant to be fighting, but he will lose against the big bad a lot of times. But yeah, and there's also, let's see. I think there was one other thing worth mentioning, just a single page where the last we see of Nami for a little bit is, yeah, where she's basically sailing away and saying how she really she was like, yo, oh, what a swell bunch of guys. She actually really does like Luffy and the others, and she's hoping that if they meet again, they'll let her sail with them. And she really is like, she's like, I hope we meet again. And she starts crying, and we really get to kind of see that, oh, there's something more here. She's not just this jerk that stole their ship. There's something else going on here. But we don't get to find out what yet. We have to wait. But we do get a name, the name Belmare,
It's gonna mean something.
which translates from French is beautiful mother. Although, I want to check one thing quickly. There's a word I want to check, and I don't know whether it's right. I think it might actually mean something else as well, not just the literal translation.
You mean the one you said?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's another translation for it. Let me just double check. Just need to pull up a quick translation here, because it's like, this is one of those words that I knew, well, I never had to know, so I need to do a quick translator here. Let's Oh,
What?
I knew it, I knew it.
What?
Okay, Belmare, the individual words mean Bel, beautiful, mère, mother. And I didn't catch this until recently when I just something, this thought struck me, but it literally translates to stepmother.
Oh wow, that's
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, so her name means stepmother, and that is what she was for Nami, and well, we'll find out later on, but yeah, that she was Nami's stepmother. But in a good way, not in a Disney way. Although that is, although I don't know whether that works entirely because she's more her adoptive mother, because a stepmother is when you're when it's a woman that
Happily,
marries your father,
yeah, you
you know?
happily.
Yeah, it's like she marries into your family, but an adoptive mother, well, let's see, adoptive mother. No, that's something different. Oh well. But still, it's you can still see stepmother, not her biological mother, but she's the one taking care of her. So it works, still works really well. And it's like, I'm glad I finally translated that because that's not a word I've ever had to use. But at the same time, I'm thinking it can't just mean beautiful mother. It has to have another meaning. And I was kind of thinking about it. And finally, for the first time in years, I found out what it actually means. Belmare literally means stepmother. So, yep, and that.
Oh yeah, I'm not done yet. There's something I want to mention about Don Krieg. Why he's like my most despised villain,
Okay.
possibly for the entire series, because it's
Yeah.
like you said, he has this ego that just needs to get checked, really checked, and it gets checked, of course, after
Yeah,
this.
not in this
And
volume, but
on this one, but after the arc's over.
yeah, it is kind of amusing the way he's all, "Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Oh my gosh, keep the good scary swordsman away from me." Oh, is he gone? Okay, good. "I'm great. I'm great. You can't beat me." And I'm like,
Yeah,
"Dude,
well,
if
yeah, that.
Mihawk had have stuck around, your ass would be grass."
No, yeah, okay, that too, but it's more like how you know how Luffy just pretty much gets like whenever someone just says I'm be the ruler of the seas, I'm gonna get the One Piece, he's like, hey, no, that's mine. That's mine. Back off, that's mine.
Yeah.
Don Krieg's like, hey, that's mine. I'm like,
Like, I'm gonna be king of the pirates, not you.
like, screw you.
Yeah, there's
I'm the main
also
character.
some other stuff that I feel worth mentioning is you've got basically Buggy meets Gaimon and they fight at first but then they become friends. Then Buggy leaves and he gets attacked by a giant crab, but he is saved from the crab by a
Beautiful slim woman.
yes, a very mysterious woman with a bit of a heart motif. And she, let's see, let me just make sure I got everything. I think, oh yeah, that was a color spread there, so I skipped
Yeah,
over there.
she the wanted poster.
She is the one, she is searching for, she doesn't have a wanted poster, but she's searching for Luffy. She points out a drawing of him.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and we're kind of like thinking, oh, what is this all about? It's like a
Luffy,
sexy
did you
woman
beat up a
looking for
sexy
Luffy.
woman?
No, I don't think it. Well, we don't know anything about that yet, but we do get a kind of get this hint. Oh, this is someone from Luffy's past, but who is she? And we will not reveal it because it is kind of amusing, a reveal. But yeah, and then in the back there's a little bit of a game thing where you've got Buggy's face and a bunch of different eyes and expressions that you can put on
That's like at
him.
the end of every, about most of every volume. They have like
Yeah.
little cutout, but here's the funny thing. Some people would think, oh, I'm gonna cut out, and then they realize, oh no, I ruined my volume. I'm like,
Yeah,
dude,
I'm
you're
not cutting it out. I'm not even gonna photocopy the
copy.
darn thing.
Photocopy it.
It
You're supposed to.
would break the spine, so I'm not gonna do that.
Break the
But
bindings. Yeah, I don't wanna do that
yeah.
either.
So that was One Piece volumes 4 through 6.
So what do we think?
Really good. I mean, I still like the end of the Kuro fight. I find that some parts of the Kuro fight is, I kind of still like it. I find that some parts of the beginning of the Baratie are a bit tedious, but still entertaining. It's like, you know, they don't get really tedious. They're more, yeah, they're still really entertaining and funny moments,
A bit
especially Luffy
more.
trying to work in a restaurant. It's a concept that I'm just like, oh man, this is genius. Yeah, and then of course there's the Mihawk fight, which is just awesome. And the introduction we get to Nami leaving them, and hey, Nami is there's something more to her, and she has this person in her family whose name literally means stepmother. So,
Not just beautiful.
yeah, it
Yeah, the
literally
chapters were interesting too, though.
Yeah, it is definitely, yeah, I don't know. Overall, I really like these. Just as strong as the first three volumes, I'd say, and overall a bit stronger because they don't have volume two that I don't care for as much. Kuro himself is kind of not as interesting as Buggy, but I still really like his gimmick with the claws and the
I
using
like
speed and
Claw.
everything. I like that. So yeah, what do you think?
Like what they call him, Mr. Claw, something. I always call Mr. Claw, like, shut up! Don't call me that. Never call.
I thought it was very it's these are some very entertaining, very well put together volumes. I find, and it also it this we haven't gotten into the parts of the Baratie arc that I don't like.
The thing I like about Kuro as a villain is not because he was a villain, but because he kind of helped reinforce Luffy's whole, like, I treat my crew better, but I want to treat them better. I don't want to be like this guy.
Yeah, it definitely.
I was just like, man.
Yeah, it's definitely great because it lets us see Luffy's philosophy in life, you know, as a pirate and as, you know, just as a sailor, you know, just as a hero in general. He's very much, you know, I'm all about protecting my, you know, protecting my crew members, and my crew members aren't disposable. They're my actual, you know, they're my friends. They're, as the Japanese would say, my nakama, which English fans should not be saying because we have a word for it.
Comrade.
Or friends.
Friend.
Friend.
Wait, be saying comrade bad because it would kind of relate to the whole socialism thingy or whatever.
That wasn't what I was thinking, but
I know, but
good
still, when I
point.
hear comrade, because I was like, comrades, I'm like, oh man, I'm thinking the other stuff.
Yeah. It's
Friends.
like,
Friends.
oh jeez. It was like socialist One Piece. I love it.
That's horrible.
It's like
And
every
then
all the dialogue is nothing but communist propaganda. It would be hilarious.
everybody's like, and it was like, this is what I had in mind the whole time. Like, no, you didn't.
Yeah. I'd be like, wait, what? This
I'm
is
terrified now.
weird, but okay. Yeah, but anyway, I think that kind of wraps up our discussion of those volumes. Next week we will be talking about volumes 7, 8, and 9, and we will not have anything, we won't be talking about any other manga because, you know, Fairy Tail's not coming out for another month. But yeah, so we're moving at a pretty brisk pace, but I think we can keep up for a little bit. And as we mentioned earlier, we're going to do volumes 7, 8, and 9, and then we will, the next week after that, we will do volumes 10, 11, and 12, which will basically take us into the Grand Line. Into the first part of the Grand Line, and we'll take a quick break there. And then, if we're, you know, if we're a bit tired at that time of discussing nothing but One Piece, but we'll kind of see how it goes. We might take a quick break, give us some time to buy some more volumes, because this is one of those series where we want to actually buy the volumes and not rely on anything else. So we'll kind of see how things go from there. We've got some other series that we might talk about that I kind of really want to talk about.
Yep.
But yeah, for now, I think that wraps us up for this week. And so yeah, I'm going to go ahead and end the recording here, and we will move on to the next segment. It's time for us to talk about the chapters this week. Unfortunately, we don't have any Shonen Jump chapters, seeing as they were, I guess they're taking a break. There was a break, at some point in the, I guess on the, you know, the Japanese side. So instead, what we have is a special Obata issue, as the first chapter of All You Need Is Kill, drawn by Takeshi Obata, was brought out on a special issue this last Saturday. And we are going to take the time here to talk about not only it, but also the first chapter of Hikaru no Go, which is also included in this issue to help pad it out a little bit. Since we know that the reason for this is, hey, we've got this new manga, but it's coming out earlier than normal manga, and it also is coming out on a week where the regular chapters aren't out. So let's just do a special chapter. And I think for the most part, since they do a bunch of first chapters, there's plenty of content to fill the entire thing. The one downside is for anyone that's read the first chapter of Bakuman already, there's nothing really new there, so it's one third shorter than it is for other people. But Let's go ahead and start by talking about the first chapter of Red versus Blue. I mean Halo. I mean
Starship Troopers.
all you need is kill.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, the armor looks very much like it looks very much like kind of a Halo-inspired armor. And what's kind of interesting, there is a series, I mean series, movie coming out, an adaptation of the original novel that is coming out,
June
is
sixth.
that when it is? June? Oh, okay, right. Yeah, okay, yeah, and it's
Starring
like,
Tom Cruise
yeah, what's the name
on
again? Edge of
Edge of
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Edge
Edge
of
of Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's it, yeah. What I thought was interesting about the previews I've seen of that is that the body armor actually doesn't look like the kind of body armor that we get here. It actually looks more like, the kind of exoskeletons that we have right now that they're developing for military use, where they don't have armor, but they have the powered arms and legs that
Power
kind of
suit.
like, it basically lets you lift more and be more strong, but it doesn't have any protection. So it looks a lot more, it's a lot more current than it is, past, than it is future, I mean. But yeah, we basically start off with here with a our main character dying as a red armored person says, "I'm Rita Vrataski."
Tasky.
I think that's it. Yeah, it's meant to be
Probably
an
Russian.
American name, but yeah, it's weird.
Oh, Russian name.
Well, it's Russian American. There are Russians in this country,
Russian American, okay.
Yeah, which I think is the idea going on here. Unless the US military drastically lowered their standards as to which of our former enemy citizens we allow into our army. Yeah. But we basically start off and with this whole, oh, the dude's dying and he's kind of messed up. And then we cut to him laying in bed reading this book. And from there, we basically go to this is where we meet our main character.
Katie.
There we go, that's his name. Yeah, because I was looking at it, I was like, where does name go? But
Katie Keo.
yep, we basically discover that he had a dream of dying in a battle, and then he finds out that, they're going to be deployed tomorrow. And he thought, it was like, wait a minute, I thought that was tonight, or. It's just kind of the dreams really shook him up, and he has his bunk mate, Jin
Yonabaru.
Yonabaru, who basically reminds me of, oh, what's his face in Bakuman? The dude,
The guy that did the bike, did the
yeah,
bike.
him. Why can't
Got a
I
name. Oh, my God. Fukuda.
remember? He was my favorite Fukuda. That's it.
Fukuda.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of him, but I'm kind of looking at the hair and I'm like, what military allows that kind of hair, like at
Military
all?
allows hair in the first place because they show, don't they shave their hair?
Yeah, they have regulation haircuts that are very short and easy to take care
Wait,
of and don't get
wait,
in the
wait.
way.
Is the whole shaving your head thing only a US thing, or is that like all worldwide military thing?
I don't know. It makes sense for it to be a worldwide military thing because having long hair in the military is probably a stupid idea. But let me actually look that up. Do other militaries shave
They say your
heads?
hair won't get stuck in something when you're running away, but it can.
Yeah. Let's see. Head shaving. Wikipedia. Military. This is practically having used in the military. Although this explains me for hygiene reasons. The image of strict discipline conformity. Yeah, during the. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, it's like during the Allied invasion of Normandy on D-Day, many soldiers chose to have their heads completely shaved, denying the defending Germans something to grab onto in the battle moved to close quarters. The militaries of the United States, Russia, and several other countries have welcomed their recruits by giving them haircuts using hair clippers with no guard attached. Doesn't say anything about Japan, but it does seem to be a worldwide kind of. A pretty worldwide kind of deal.
That's interesting. I did not even know that. I just thought, oh, is that a U.S. thing? Because I haven't seen.
Don't know. I'd imagine that it would be a worldwide thing because, it would be kind of stupid to have hair where someone can grab it. But I guess if you're wearing power armor that has covers your head as well. That would be, it would be kind of
Not to
pointless.
mention it's easier to point out which character is which by their hair,
Yeah, I was about to make that joke with, hey, it's manga, so we wouldn't be able to recognize them if they didn't have hair.
It's like, who's that bald, blue-haired?
It's like, I don't
Okay.
know. Yeah, except I will say Obata is good enough with character designs that he doesn't fall into that trope. You would be able to recognize these characters without their hair.
That's true.
Though he does keep falling into that silly artistic twitch of his, where he draws characters with one eye open and one eye closed. And even when they're, like, say, upside down, and Jin has one eye open and one eye closed, I'm like, why would you close your one eye? Keep them both open, yo.
Well, pirates actually were, apparently the eye, the thing about the stop
Oh, no. No.
Some people pirates.
Yeah, there's sometimes when it's clear you're trying to joke, but it's actually kind of sad because you're just like, he's about to say a joke. I can already tell it's gonna fall flat on his ass. Kind of like that joke just did, sorry.
We play Left 4 Dead. I'll make sure I shoot you, all right?
Yeah, well, if you keep startling the witch as much as you did the last game, then I don't have to worry.
I can just crown her, don't worry. As long as I don't get, as long as I don't get, okay,
Yeah,
moving on.
anyway, yes, moving on. So we find out that humanity is in a war against monsters that they don't know where they came from or what kind of creatures they are, called mimics. And
Hate those things and everything they appear in.
man, those are freaky looking.
Actually, the thing with the mimics, they look like those certain eyeball weird thingies from that certain movie about based off of Stephen King book.
Oh, yeah, was it the Langoliers?
Langoliers.
Yeah, it does kind of look like that.
I was like, what
But yeah,
the?
so it's basically this kind of, the world is united to fight them, and the Japanese are the only industrial nation of the world capable of creating the composite armor for the battle jackets, and I call bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, really now. I don't know, it's kind of weird. We're like, we're the only country that can do it, and it's like, why? What exactly means that only Japan can create this? I mean, is it some special resources that are found in that area? Probably not, because they don't exactly have the best iron. Is it a special technical know-how? I can kind of buy that, but at the same time, you'd think, hey, humanity's being destroyed. Maybe you shouldn't sit on this knowledge that you could easily teach our scientists to make, just a thought. But I do,
We can make Gundams.
yeah, I do kind of like the, though I do like the idea of what the way that follows up with, the only ones that are capable of properly defending the military, the base where they create this armor, are the US Special Forces, who are basically there as like they're pretty much the only military in the unit who have been successful in battle against the mimics. And so I kind of like that. That's, they do the whole, oh, Japan is the only one that can create this special armor. And then, as if responding to the outcry of bullshit, they're like, oh, yeah, and the US are the basically have the best military, blah, blah, blah. And all American readers are like, yeah, damn right. Although I don't know why the leader of our forces is carrying a giant freaking battle axe.
Oh, what?
She's carrying a battle axe.
Oh, she. Oh.
Yeah, although I guess if you have super powered armor, you'd probably want something gigantic and bladed as well.
Or
But
take a sword. I don't need a sword. I want the axe. Oh, okay.
yeah, that is kind of silly. But so we get the backstory, and then we basically the soldiers all go for training, which yeah, it's kind of interesting seeing how lax the hairstyles are, because you see one dude with a beard, where it seems less like standard military and more like, special, Marines or special forces and whatnot. But yeah, they basically go out and they're like, okay, we're going to force you to do push-ups for an hour. And it turns out that our main character, he had a dream where that's what happened, and it turns out that it's true. And yeah, they do push-ups. Lots and lots of push-ups while the American forces kind of watch on. And it is kind of amusing to see that the US forces have more standard hair, the more standard haircuts that you'd see in the military, so that's accurate at least. But yeah. One
I
second.
think the female.
One sec, my cat's attacking my foot. Stop that cat. Son of a. Stop it! There we go. He was.
What's your attention?
But yeah, he had his claw latched into my sock. I think he was trying to eat me. I think what Rita? Yeah, we get to see what she looks like. And honestly, I know you have a problem with the character later on. I think I have a bit more of a problem with her because we're talking U.S. Special Military Forces, and she looks like a high school girl. Now, I'm not saying that I'm saying, oh, it's a woman in the military. This is completely unrealistic. No, what I'm saying is that it's completely unrealistic to have a character that looks in the military, in the special forces, surrounded by gorillas that looks like they're in freaking high school. It doesn't matter if it's a girl or a guy. I look at this character and I think, there is no way this is a commanding officer. This is like, she's 15, is what she looks like. And I mean, granted,
14.
yeah, I mean, granted, they pointed out that she doesn't look like, she doesn't look like a proper soldier. So it's like, pointed out, it's supposed to be this whole, oh, this, she looks small, but she's the toughest one around and everything. But at the same time, there's a limit to how much you can accomplish without gaining considerably more muscle mass than she has. It's weird, but
Says if she's a commander, I might as well be the president. Wait,
yeah, you wish.
I don't want to be president.
No, but I
That's
guess
BS.
when you get down to it, they're wearing power armor, so it's not like being much stronger necessarily
Yeah,
makes you a
those
would
for the
make you
brains.
better. So I guess that works, but at the same time, I kind of go off of the Halo approach where they had to bioengineer a super soldier to wear the freaking power armor because anyone else wearing it was torn to shreds anytime they tried to move.
Okay, I got a lot of respect for Halo now.
Yeah, it's like, that's the whole point. I mean, one of the prequel books was basically about how the military was going around kidnapping kids, replacing them with clones that died within like a couple weeks. So the people didn't realize that the kids had been kidnapped and were then genetically engineered to become.
Wait, what
I know,
the hell?
it's pretty messed up, dude. There's a lot more to that series than just the games allow show you. And so it's pretty messed up. And they basically have to put these kids, it's basically kind of like an Ender's Game kind of scenario where they have to put the kids through hell. And then they grow up to become these giants wearing power armor. Because that's the only way they could get anyone to be able to wear that armor. Because any normal human was torn to pieces because the armor was too powerful. But I guess in reality, the point is, the power armor amplifies your strength and it's not going to tear you to pieces because there are safeties installed. But anyway, we're getting a little off topic.
Yeah, we're still in All You Need Is Kill, man.
Yeah. Rita basically decides to, go and join in with the rest of the exercise and everything. So, although it is kind of, all the others have done like 900 push-ups and she's just starting in and she's like, 901? 902? 903? It's like, you're cheating! No, but yeah, she basically uses it as a chance to talk to our main character. He's like, why were you staring? And he's like, well, I wasn't staring. What are you talking about? And then we end with everyone else partying, but yeah, he goes to read, but then he's like, wait a minute, I've never read this book before, but I know these lines. What's going on here? And then he's just thinking, he's like, okay, it was only a dream. I'm gonna come back alive no matter what. And they get suited up, and I really like. I think Obata was a great choice for the art for this series because, he goes into so much detail, and you really need the detail when you're dealing with a sci-fi story like this. Though I will say that the armor looks very Halo. It's kind of silly.
Seriously, people are start calling it a fanboy now because they're all gay.
Yeah, well, I haven't barely even played the games. I just kind of like the books.
Never
But
play the game.
yeah, but with this, they go into war, and their job is to. Phew,
Bless you.
pardon me. Yeah, their job is to pick off the mimics that the main force didn't deal with. And they see one come in and they kill it, but it ends up killing one of their other men. And it turns out there's an entire swarm of them coming in, and they, Yonobaru and what's his face?
Katie.
Keiji, yeah, they both die and get torn to shreds pretty graphically. And he
Jeez.
dies, and then he wakes up in bed again. And he's like, wait, what?
It's Groundhog Day.
And they basically go through the same thing again, except this time he can remember dying more vividly, and he remembers doing it twice. And he remembers that he's read that book, even though he's never read it before. And so he's like, he had a dream, and then he realizes that, you know, that wasn't a dream. He's actually died twice already, and he makes a run for it. Because he's like, dude, no! And then he runs off, and he runs into a, I guess she's a kitchen worker.
Probably.
Not sure why they would have someone in the kitchen staff wearing that outfit, because as someone that has worked in a kitchen, even though I was mostly, well, it was mostly fast food, but there was an attached, it was like the school cafeteria, and there was an attached kitchen in the background because, you know, we needed to prepare our food. There is no way in hell they would let someone wearing that into the kitchen. Not
Yeah,
only
because she should have went traditional. I think it would look better on her.
it, she should have been wearing freaking clothes. Even the head dress that she is wearing is pointless because it only covers half of her hair. There is plenty of hair sticking out the front that will fall into the soup. That is the most ridiculous and blatant attempt at fan service I have ever seen.
Did we say the name, her name, or
It's
the?
Rachel Kisaragi, so I guess it's another one of those half Japanese, half Western characters
Yeah.
with, yeah, big breasts.
Yep.
And that's silly. And short shorts. And a tank top with a button-up shirt tied around to bare her midriff completely. Keep in mind that she is pushing a cart of two pots of potatoes. Peeled potatoes, no less. I don't know where she's taking those other than the kitchen, which do they not peel their potatoes in the kitchen? I don't know what the logistics of that is, but yeah.
Oh man.
Again, their kitchens tend to be very strict about getting any bit of human into the food, whether it be hair or bits of skin, and showing that much skin, she would be kicked out on her shapely ass.
Well, this one isn't as bad. What's going to happen next, personally?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Did you want to complain about this character a bit more?
Oh, you mean
Rachel?
the oh, Rachel?
Fact that she's an
I was
obvious
just,
fan service character?
yeah, I was just surprised. I was like, okay, she's gonna mean something. And knowing how Obata likes his females, I have no hopes how well she's gonna turn.
No, not really. But yeah, I did think it was,
Not even real.
yeah, it is kind of amusing when the Sarge shows up and is like, oh, what's going on here? And then he's like, oh, hey, let me, oh, you're injured. He's like, oh, it's nothing serious, but yeah, go ahead and get that wound treated at the infirmary. And I'm like, dude, this is the easiest sergeant ever. He's like, oh, you've got a little boo-boo on your face. Go get that taken care of. I was like, pretty sure that's not how most sergeants actually act. I don't know, maybe he noticed that dude was distressed. But at the same time, I'm thinking, yeah, it's a pretty understanding sergeant right there. But of course, Mr. Hero makes a run for it. And he just keeps running until he gets into the safe zone where he meets an old man and his granddaughter.
So, there's no such thing as a safe zone.
Yeah, absolute defense zone, as they put it. But yeah, he decides, oh, I'm safe, and then the old man's head gets cut off and goes flying and spurts blood everywhere. And then the little girl gets her head and arm blasted off. And it is very graphic. It
don't want to read this in.
it's a little distasteful, where within 2 pages we've got an old man and like an 8-year-old getting brutally murdered. Fortunately, we can assume they're alive again after time resets itself, as we later find out. But still, dude! And it's like, are these creatures following him or what?
They
But
are.
yeah, he gets torn to shreds, and he gets torn to shreds graphically, but after, I'm sorry, but after seeing an old man and a little girl get murdered, I'm not too concerned for him. But yeah, he wakes up again and he's slightly less, panicked and more sort of like starting to realize what's going on. And he asks Yonaburo for a gun, and Yonaburo is like, "Oh yeah, here, it's loaded. Don't point it at me." He's like, "You can pack one of these once you become a corporal." And I'm like, "Wait, if he's not a corporal, what is he?" Oh, I guess you can. All right, wait, I'm an idiot. Private. It's private, corporal, and sergeant is next, isn't it? Or is that a third one?
I don't know the rankings. I should look over.
I don't know. I think I seem to remember it being something like that. Those are the non-commissioned officers. But yeah, basically, I guess a private isn't allowed to carry a handgun around on his own person. And yeah, he takes it and he shoots himself in the head.
Because, but hey, these.
Which is like for science.
It's
And then he wakes
like,
up.
dude.
Yeah, again, and he realizes, yep, okay, so that's how it works. I wake up at this exact point, my memory is intact of what happened, and no way to avoid dying. But yeah, he basically decides, okay, the only thing I can do is just stay alive, and then he decides to mark down which time, what time it is that he's gone through. And starting off, we end the chapter with him writing the number 5 on his hand because this is his 5th time. And I kind of like that. That promises to be kind of like a bit like the moment in season 6 of Doctor Who, the new season or series 6, since the reboot, in Doctor Who, where they have these aliens that, as soon as you look away from them, you forget about them. And the only way to keep track of that they've seen them is by, marking how many they've seen on their skin. So they just do kind of like, what is like, tally marks on them until they're complete, and then you'll see them like one moment, and then suddenly they're covered in those marks, and it's just like, oh my gosh, the aliens are there. And this kind of, I think, will have a bit of a similar situation where like suddenly we'll look at his hand and it will be like number 25.
I call it ground. I will basically describe it as Groundhog Day, but with aliens and mech suits.
Groundhog's Day, but awful.
Awful.
Yeah. All right, so what do you think of this series so far?
There's still a lot to still see. It. I would say it's a lot like a certain series that I started reading that I hope it will probably continue on as well. It's also showing them,
Right.
and the way it begins like that series, like it starts off with a premise, and it pretty much promises that there'll be more to come, only if you'll stick around, is how I would see it.
Right, yeah. I think for an introduction, this was very effective. I'm certainly interested in what's going to
I
happen
want to know what
next.
takes going to happen next.
Yeah. Some of the parts I think are kind of silly so far. I'm not holding out much hope for good female characters in this series,
Oh,
mostly
man.
because the tough soldier looks like a preteen idol model. And then the only other female that we've seen is a apparently some kind of a cook or assistant cook, and she wears no clothes.
Like, no.
That is not as sexy as it sounds. Naked chefs are how disease happens.
Ew.
Yes. I mean, yeah. So, but the rest of everything that I'm seeing here is promising. I like the idea of him, dying and coming back. I think it could get a little repetitive if we every chapter is like this, where he gets a little bit further and then he dies. I think that a lot can be done with this premise of he gets really far and we get really invested and he's really close to figuring out what's going on and then he dies and everything resets itself.
Sounds a lot like some games I played, like Shadow of Destiny, and there's this other game, Hope Baroque.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and I also really kind of like, I mean, the art is great. I like the art. This is some really good detailed art. Obata does a good job with that, and I feel that he's necessary for being able to adapt a series that's about high-tech power armor. I don't like the alien designs. They're weird, you know? Like they're fairly unique looking, sort of, except.
Think they're called mimics, so I think there's a secret to their
Yeah,
name.
chances are maybe shape shifting or something like that, but
I wouldn't be surprised, but that'd be pretty cool.
I don't know. Their design feels pretty uninspired overall. You know, it's like they're giant spiky balls. I mean, unless you're the most homophobic person in the world, I don't think the image of being murdered by giant spiky balls is all that frightening.
Why do you make these funny things sound so silly when you describe them? It's
It's a
like
gift.
it was like with a yo. It's like,
Oh,
why do
yeah.
people think this is terrifying? I'm like, good point.
Yeah, it's. And usually I'm an absolute coward when it comes to scary stuff, but every once in a while I just have to call it the way I see it. Yeah, this definitely does seem like a series that will have a lot of, you know, gra well, obviously it's going to have a lot of graphic violence, but the fact that time resets itself does give the possibility of having deaths of beloved characters that are then undone by, you know, everything resetting itself. But I guess you could have later on this sort of tension, this some conflict of, oh, this fr my friend died, but I'm so close to solving the mystery and winning the war and undoing everything. But if I do that, he will stay dead forever. But if I let myself die, I could bring him back. I could save him, but at the same time, I will undo all the work that we've done. I could see that happening at some point, you know? But yeah, overall, I'm
Yeah, I just
optimistic.
took a look at Rachel. I'm like, yeah, she definitely is not dressed properly.
Yeah, geez, tell me about it. But yeah, that's my 2 cents on this series. I'm hopefully optimistic, though certain aspects I've kind of, you know, given up on. Where I'm just like, this is gonna be silly, and I just need to forget it, just, you know, accept it. But yeah.
Love it.
Yep, did you have anything else to add?
The first chapter is all right. It's got a nice premise. I'm looking forward to reading more to see what the heck's going on. But like I said, Groundhog's Day, both aliens and mech suits were worse.
Yeah, and a lot more
Okay,
dying.
the worst part is from Derek. I just he added that part because, well,
Yeah.
it is.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's go ahead and talk about Hikaru no Go, Chapter 1.
Okay, now that. Okay, that, a little history. This is like one of Obata's older, like one of his like first series that got popular, actually.
Yeah, it's one of the
Yeah.
early ones. I have to say, I'm a little disappointed that Cyborg Grandpa didn't make it into this special issue.
Wait, I'll just see a series of this.
Yeah, he does the art on it, and it's kind of silly. It's basically dude's grandpa turns himself into a cyborg, and it's wacky. But,
That's awesome.
yeah, so this first chapter of Hikaru no Go is basically our main character, Hikaru, is looking around for something to sell from his grandpa's old storeroom. Like,
What kids do.
yeah, I'm kind of looking at this, and I'm like, wow, you're a little shithead. Going and stealing your grandpa's stuff and trying to sell it because you don't have pocket money, you spoiled little bastard.
I do
But,
that when I was a kid?
yeah, it's true. Doesn't mean I can't hate it. But yeah, he finds a go board and then he says, like, hey, this is old, I could probably sell this, but there's blood stains on it. And then, like the genie's lamp, he releases a ghost that bonds itself with him. And it's a ghost of an old go player, as we later on find out, and he is, you know,
Fujiwara no Sai.
yeah, and he has been, you know, he's been unable to pass along because he was cheated out of a victory in a game, and he ended up killing himself because he had no other skills, and he was like, oh, what the heck? And then he's thinking, oh, well, I depart this life and enter Nirvana, but then he's like, nope, I just want to play Go too badly. I can't pass on to the afterlife. I'm like, out of all the reasons to be stuck on Earth, that's not one of the better ones. But yeah, he basically tells about how he bonded with his kid and made him a great Go player, but then the kid died at the age 34, and he has not yet accomplished his goal. He has yet to play the divine move. And from there, Hikaru's like, yeah, right, I'm not gonna play Go. I'm not interested. And the sadness, the ghost's sadness is so intense that it makes Hikaru sick. Where anytime he says, I'm not gonna play Go, he barfs. And it's kind of funny. It's like kind of like saying, I do not believe in fairies, except instead of a fairy dying, you chuck. Yeah, and in the end he decides, you know what? Better, I might as well play some Go, otherwise I'm not going to survive. And he decides, you know what? I'm gonna play my grandfather, get some money out of it from him. And his grandfather's like, oh, you're learning how to play Go? And he gets all excited, and then Hikaru is all kind of cocky and everything. He's like, oh, I'm gonna play. But it turns out his grandpa is really good, and you know, what's his name again? The ghost? Sai?
Sorry.
Sai, okay. Yeah, he is like 140 years behind the times, so he may have been a great player, but he's also, you know, not up to how, you know, the game is played now. And basically they try to play and Hikaru can't keep up because the go Sai is trying to tell him where to place it, but Hikaru can't, you know, doesn't know where to put it exactly. And his grandpa gets kind of pissy and I'm like, dude, just be glad that he was interested at all. But yeah, he's like, let's play again 6 months from now. And so Hikaru basically he gets some help with his homework from Sai, and I'm thinking that's cheating but useful. And he decides, you know what, I'm gonna have to take some Go classes, otherwise I'm not gonna be able to do anything with this. So he attends a weekly Go class and he learns a little bit. And we get a basic introduction to how the game works. I mean, we're told next to nothing, but we're introduced to the concept of that you're supposed to capture the stones.
Yeah,
And that's the most basic of basics, but you can kind of get a basic idea of, okay, you want to surround your enemy's stones and capture them like that. So, I don't know. This is a series I'm thinking I might want to read more of. I mean, we're not
I
done
did
with a
too.
recap, but I don't know. Yeah, with this, I'm thinking this would be kind of interesting to learn how to play Go, read this series.
Just share something interesting. The interesting thing about the guy that kind of should I talk about about why Sai wants to like
Oh,
why
yeah.
Sai rest not because he lost the game and he's upset about it. It's not
Yeah.
like it's that he generally got cheated out, but at the same time the way his opponent cheated him out, I gotta say that's actually it's still cheating, but he did
It's
it in such a
clever.
way clever, yeah, very clever. I was like
Yeah.
instead of like saying, oh you cheated, instead of like oh I was like oh
Like, oh, you cheated, and then he accuses him, like, what? No, you're the cheater. And of course, nobody's going to take it seriously because they're both accusing each other.
And yeah, and then all of a sudden, hey, dude, stop it! And then all of a sudden, psycho.
Yeah.
Basically, he psyched them out. His opponent psyched them out, and I was like, man, that's clever.
Yeah, he says, yeah, he was smart. I mean, the dude's a jackass, but he's smart. And I kind of get the feeling this is a character that's probably going to come back as another spirit that they'll have to contend with. At least that's kind of what I'm thinking, but because we're going to need closure from there.
Especially for the divine move.
Yeah, but,
Okay, something about the series. I want to say, when I first read it in the old when Weekly Shonen Jump was being published still, you know, in print here a couple years back,
Right.
I read it and I was like, oh, it's not bad. I want to read it. I didn't like, just read it all, but the funny thing was this series is like one of those series that got so popular it made people want to play the game itself.
Yeah, that does happen. I notice that happens a lot with like game, like say for example, with like whenever I'm a game, I mean a movie comes out about sports, and I'm just kind of thinking it's like, oh yeah, I want to play hockey now, and so I'm like, I don't know anything about hockey. What am I talking about?
See golf movies or people play golf.
Yeah, oh, there's a couple of those. Is what The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Well, okay, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and there's what it's called? Happy Gilmore. Yeah, Adam
Yeah, that
Sandler.
one is not what got me to golf. Why has it got me to golf? A video game called Mario Golf 64 for some reason.
Yeah,
That
oh
was amazing.
silliness. Yeah, we should probably yeah. Let's actually finish up talking about the chapter though. We
Right,
see
go
that
ahead.
there's one guy that's being all loud and, psyching out his opponent, being a jerk. And Hikaru, basically makes him look, teases him, reveals that the dude's wearing a wig. And the
Toupee.
dude, and yeah, toupee. And the dude just runs out. And I have to say, this is really hilarious. Just the way he's running and the way he's drawn is just perfect. Because he's like, ah, yeah! He screams and he's just, yeah. He's just like, has his back arched in a weird way. And you're just like, that's the kind of, you kind of feel bad for the guy. He was a complete jerk, but he's just so silly in the way he does, in the way he's running away, that I feel bad for him. But yeah, and then we basically the chapter ends there with them sort of leaving out and someone like saying, oh, who do you think is the strongest Go player? And we find out that Honinbo Shusaku from the Edo period was the best player of all time.
And he was the one that was 34 years old. He died.
Oh, that's the one. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Oh,
him.
that. Oh,
Yeah,
I was
what
thinking, I
crypto?
was like, I should know this name. But then I was thinking, oh, was it the name of the guy that cheated? And then we reveal that, oh, this is, it turns out this guy went down as the greatest player, even though he was a cheater, and that would have been like a plot thread to go through. But okay, that makes kind of a little more sense with the that kid. And then you find out, oh, it's actually Sai that was the best player. So okay, that's what that's meant to be. That's cool.
Yep.
All right, and then next we have Bakuman Volume 1, but let's be honest here. I mean, Bakuman Chapter 1, but let's be honest here. We've talked about this before. There's not really anything. Well, I don't know. I guess if we talk about the chapter specifically, we could go into more detail about it, but we've already talked about it. Go
Yeah.
listen to episode 51 where we go over Volume 1. And we pretty much cover that series quite that chapter pretty well, so I don't think there's anything else we can add. But all right, and that does it for the special issue. Only three series to read, only two of which we haven't read before. Next week, on the 20th, we come back. We have Seraph of the End will be back, Bleach will be back, and of course everything except for Toriko.
That's
And
right.
yeah, All You Need Is Kill is off next week, but it will return on the 27th. And I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. This definitely got me thinking, I want to read this series more. All right, and okay, that does it. Come on, go back to the beginning. There we go. All right, that does it for the Jump chapters. Let's talk about the Kodansha chapters. Starting with Fairy Tail chapter 366. All right, so this
That's like
chapter.
cover chapter.
The one with Kagura.
Yep.
That is a very awkward angle and pose, by the way.
Yeah, I'd agree, but still.
Oh dear. Oh hey, she's 23. She's your age.
Her magic, I said I'm 24 now, but her magic is gravity. I'm surprised. I didn't know that. I was like, huh.
What? I thought her magic was swords, like Urza's magic.
It's.
Oh, I guess she uses gravity magic amongst others, but she uses a sword. I'm like, oh, fair enough. Yeah, so the chapter itself, we've got a bit of a Natsu fights that one weird looking
Run
really,
mouth.
yeah, that guy. And yeah, we get a little bit more of naked Urza, which I'm kind of thinking, this is awkward, could we
Yeah,
not?
I literally can see that one line everybody's been saying, but I don't want to say it because we know what we're going to say anyway. So what's the point of saying it when we know what to
Yeah.
say?
Yeah,
But there's
it's
more important stuff in there.
A lot more important stuff. We've got a fight between Natsu and that guy, and it turns out he can kind of stretch, but he's not taking any damage, but Natsu is, fighting him. But we get interrupted with a scene between Gray and Juvia, where Juvia is basically saying she is very, she's like, I have a very bad feeling about this. This thing is like, Gray's like, we're up against enemies who can do stuff like that to a town, and you show this town that's basically been cut to ribbons. Like the stone has literally been cut and gouged. He
Oh.
says, I can see how it might get you down. And Juvia's like, no, it's not that. It's something different. It's like she's got this uneasy sense of foreboding. And it's kind of a touching scene because, because they're riding on this jaguar-like horse thing. And she's got her arms wrapped around him to stay on, and he kind of, grasps her hand as it's wrapped, as it's like around his waist, and it's kind of a, he says, "I'm here with you." And it's like, fairy tale will win, just like always. You can count on it. And it's actually really touching, you know? And you know what would make it even more touching? If we didn't have that part where he flat out rejected her. Because this just ends up confusing. And I'm like, was the rejection meant to, like, make us think, oh, it's not going to happen? But then you sort of, it's just meant to be a road bump. And then they do get closer or something. I don't know. It's weird. Either way, it's a fun scene. I'm sure that the shippers enjoyed it.
Well, the thing about that rejection part was weird because when he, right after he said that, so,
Well, it's not like she accepted it, but still, it's kind of odd.
well, he was about to say it, I see.
Well, it's kind of odd. Well, I guess we'll see what happens, but it's definitely a fun scene for the shippers. I think they can enjoy that. Probably enjoy it more if it weren't contradicting a previous scene, but whatever. The fight with Natsu continues, and he fights against the dude whose body stretches and can use, you know, he can stretch individual parts even, like, and stick them to someone and glue them on there and use lightning or something, or like he drains his strength. And Natsu keeps fighting, blasts him like right in the face with like some of his most powerful attacks, but it does nothing.
That's a, yeah, go like you want.
Yeah, and then Silver shows up and tells Front Moth to leave and take the chairman. And Silver is struts in looking all very familiar to us. And yeah, he's got kind of a, he's, I kind of like the way he's introduced, where he's sort of like, S Natsu, so it was you that melted the ice in the Village of the Sun. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, I gotta thank you. I would have felt guilty if it stayed like that forever. And he's kind of like got this big grin and everything. So you're like, this is kind of a goofy character. Interesting. And
Kind
he's,
of a guild art steel bomb. It's not that
yeah, he
nice.
does, doesn't he? I guess maybe all the, well, possible spoilers, but maybe all the fathers in fairy tale are like that. But yeah, Natsu says, you smell kind of like someone I know, and all the readers are like, yeah, he looks like someone we know too.
Yeah.
And then Natsu's like, Gray? And Silver just freezes Natsu, just completely turns him to ice. And he says, don't go saying a filthy name like that. And so, interesting.
Theory time.
Yeah, so the main theory is that this is Gray's father. It's possible, certainly possible. But at the same time, you sort of have to wonder, okay, what exactly could it have been that would cause him, if he is Gray's father, to have this kind of animosity towards Gray? It could be, it's very possible that it's not actually his father, but his older brother. Which would work if there's that much of an age difference between them, if you think of, you know, if you think that there was a 7-year time skip. So it'd be 7 years older than he was. So if there's already a big age difference, that's been amplified. So they could be siblings. And that seems to me to be, I don't know, it seems like that's out of, it makes a little more sense to me. Because it's easier for siblings to hate each other than it is for a parent and a child to hate each other. I mean, that's not necessarily always true, but I always usually tend to seem that siblings can often be at odds more often and hate each other. A parent, it's very, very rare. I mean, it's not unheard of, but it's very rare that a parent flat out despises their child. You know? I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's not. It's a lot less common, I find, than siblings having that kind of relationship. Another option that I've considered is maybe it's not, he's not Gray's father or brother. Maybe he was Ultier's husband. And maybe he hates Gray because Gray caused Ultier's death, but that wouldn't, that one's not in the runnings very much because it wouldn't make sense. I mean, he left. So why would he care? And why would his name be Silver, which is an obvious connection to Gray, Silver. So I think the father theory is the most likely, and it's very possible that the hatred comes from, I don't know, something involving Deliora, I'm pretty certain.
Probably.
You know, maybe he blames Gray for something that happened, though, I don't know. I'm thinking it would have to be something like that, unless it's a completely different reason that we haven't been told, and that's not impossible. But
It's Mashimo, you know, he just go, oh, it's not even, it's like, you know, my
like,
theory is that he can actually be gray, but an older gray from a different
a different
time.
time period? Okay, I could see that.
Yeah,
I mean, we have had time travel, but I don't know. I
but
think I don't.
the thing is that gets me is that since all Tartars are demons,
Yeah.
he's definitely a demon, so.
Well, I mean, we've seen two people in the process of being converted to demons. So, I don't know. I don't know. I kind of have to wonder, with Gnatsu out of commission, what the heck's going to happen to Mira and Erza? And Erza's going to keep getting tortured, but is Mira really going to turn into a demon? I'm
She's
just
already
like, ah, no.
seeing demons so
Yeah,
much.
though I guess with her you could probably see her be like, be all, oh hey, yeah, you turned me into a demon. My magic is turning into a demon, so vice versa. Oh hey, look, I'm human again. That would be kind of amusing. But yeah, so overall, what do we think of this chapter?
The same, Mashima, other than the Earth a bit, was this I think a chapter. Other than Earth and the
Yeah. Well, I mean,
great.
the fact that it isn't torture porn this
Yeah.
week, it's actually really good. I like the fight is really good, even though we skim over it mostly. The scene with Gray and Juvia is really nice. It's kind of a touching little scene. I enjoy their scenes when they're done well. And then,
I thought it was pretty silly when somehow Final Fantasy got Starwind having bit him. I was like, wait, what? Bit him.
yeah, that was silly, but yeah, and then Silver's involvement in this chapter is definitely raising questions, and that is good. That a series need to raise questions so that we get invested in them. So I'm definitely looking forward to see what will.
Whether good or bad, right? Whether good or bad.
Pretty much, yeah. This is probably the tensest Fairy Tail's been in a long time, and the distasteful scene from last week certainly could have been done without, but at the same time, I don't think I've been quite as invested in Fairy Tail for a while. I mean, we've got two characters in mortal danger, one that came to save them but is incapacitated, and I'm sort of wondering how are they going to get out of this? And there's a character with a connection to Gray. It's definitely interesting. I'm look forward to seeing what comes next. And all right. Next, we have chapter 61 of the Seven Deadly Sins. And we learn a little bit more about, kind of do a little bit of world building where we find out that for certain that there are different races. You've got the goddess race, the giant clan, the fairy folk, and mankind who join together to create a seal that's,
Lord of the Rings,
yeah, a relief
giant.
that's sealed away the demon race. And the sword hilt that Meliodas was using was actually part of that seal. And this is what we find out, that Hendrickson is trying to gather all these seals to unleash the demons upon the world and have humanity defeat them, and you know, basically be all, yeah, humanity's great. We did what required four species to work, races to work together, and we've been studying, and you know, we've been studying the demon race, and we know, you know, we have these special weapons we can use this time.
Here's
And
how I would put it. Henderson's just trying to put the holy knife back into having jobs again.
yeah, pretty much. And it's also, yeah, and it's also, we find out for certain that it was, I don't know, because Dreyfus kind of comes across as, oh hey dude, I'm against this plan, this is a bad idea. And we're like, oh, this is a good guy. But then we're reminded, oh yeah, he got the seat of the chief holy knight because he, you know, he killed his own brother. So yeah. And then Dreyfus, no, oh, Hendrickson says, I insist, you're going to have to help me, and you know, if you know, I'll have you follow in Grimoire's footsteps if you don't. And Dreyfus is like, the one who'll die is you. And we go back to our main characters where Meliodas basically says, hey, come on, I need your help. We need to get this back. But everyone's like, yeah, forget that. And then we get this person, in a, this woman in a strange armor.
I think I know. I think I have an idea who that
It's probably the I don't know, it's possibly the one. One of the remaining members of the Deadly Seven Deadly
is.
Sins is what I'm thinking.
Well,
Yeah, but she kind of has this interesting helmet design that completely covers her face with some slits, but it's kind of got this whole hands clasped on the top of her head and on her
I see
chin.
cleavage, so definitely a woman has got to be her,
Well, I
right?
don't know if that's cleavage. I think that's still covered in fabric. It's just a different
Oh,
color fabric.
hard to
Yeah.
tell white from
Unless she
brown.
has weird spots on her chest, which not
Good.
impossible, but I'm pretty sure that's meant to be fabric. And whoever she is, she kidnaps Elizabeth because she is the final key to lifting the seal. And she escapes, and Meliodas is like, "Hey, we need to go rescue her." It's like, it's more than 40 miles away from the kingdom. And then him, Ban, and Crowther basically do a fast,
Gowther?
I think that's what it is, Cowther.
Gowther.
Yeah, Gowther. Yeah, it's Gowther, yeah. They do a fastball special, which X-Men fan will recognize, where they just come together and they yeah, they have gosh,
Diane.
they Diane, yes.
How do you forget her
I don't
name?
know. They have Diane throw them. And I'm like, I can see how Bond would survive this, but how are the others supposed to survive?
Giant armor, Meliodas is half demon or something, so that.
know, but yeah, either way, it's like you've got Dreyfus and what's his face? Or
Hendrickson.
Hendrickson, that's it, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, they're facing off, but then they're like, "Oh, we have an emergency. Strong magical forces are approaching the kingdom at rapid speeds from the northwest, and they are impossibly fast." So it looks like we're getting into a confrontation between the seven deadly sins and the holy knights a lot faster than expected.
Three out of the five are going to have start conversation. The other two are going to try and catch up or something.
Yeah. So that's kind of, yeah. It's interesting. It's going interesting places. I like to see where this is going, and there's definitely some interesting exposition that happened, as well as a pretty surprising, if somewhat confusing, moment where Elizabeth gets captured. So, yeah, I like
She's
this
the final
chapter.
seal, so in order to unleash the seal of the demon, she
Yeah.
probably had to
Or
die.
maybe she's not the seal. Maybe they just need, like, virgin royal blood or something like that. That makes it sound like some kind of alcohol. Virgin royal blood. Like,
Tastes like, doesn't taste like it actually, though.
yeah. Yeah, but yeah, overall, this was a pretty good week. I mean, even though we didn't read the chapter of Bakuman, it's a good chapter. It's just I read it before. I didn't see any need to go over it again. I like the chapter of Hikaru no Go. I really like the All You Need Is Kill. That definitely has my interest piqued. And I like this chapter of Fairy Tail, and that's the first time I can legitimately say that I liked this chapter of Fairy Tail. It's the first time in a long time, which I'm really happy about.
Same.
And yeah, this chapter of Seven Deadly Sins was very interesting. I get a lot of world building, the story's moving forward. It was just really great overall. But that basically does it for our chapters that we can talk about this time. And you know what? Rather than cutting, let's just go ahead and wrap up right away.
Okay.
Yep, so there we don't really have any author comments, but we do have two bits from Hiroshi Sakurazaka and Takeshi Obata. And I will start off with a message from Hiroshi Sakurazaka, the writer of All You Need Is Kill. "I got so excited when I heard about the simultaneous release in English. Please enjoy the manga version of All You Need Is Kill every week." I can imagine that would be pretty cool, you know, finding out, like, wait, you're choosing my manga to be released in in the US? Oh, well, that's cool.
Oh, wait, that's the novelist, right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty sure it's a novelist. Or maybe it's the guy that. Okay, yeah, it's. Okay, right, yeah. So, all right, so original story, storyboards, character designs, and art. Man, they actually got a full team to work on this. Though, I guess they just straight up take the dialogue and the script from the. I don't know. If someone needs to have adapted it, and whether it's Hiroshi Sakurazaka or not, I'm just gonna assume it is. But
A message from Takeshi Obata. I'm so happy to hear that overseas fans will be able to read this manga. I'll do my best. Thank you so much.
I look forward to seeing what else he does with that. And let's see, I don't think we don't really have any I don't know, doing rankings would be kind of pointless now. because none of the other chapters were out. So we'll skip the rankings for this week, and we don't have any feedback or any emails, possibly because iTunes is being a bitch about our feed.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to fix that. I'm sorry if you don't get this episode until much later, listeners. This time, not entirely my fault. I'm gonna have to fix it and see what's going on. But if you go to burninglizardstudios.com, or if you go look us up on Podomatic, you can still find us and listen to us. If anyone that listens on Podomatic, if you could let us know in a comment or something if you're able to find our other feed, our manga, Pat Symbol 3, a manga podcast. If you can find it on iTunes and let us know if you even see the feed or which episodes you see there, that would be very helpful in trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
The symbol is called a carrot.
Carrot, that's it. When I inevitably have to do a new feed, I'm just gonna write out manga cubed without the clever symbol because that's getting on my nerves right now.
Yeah, on my nerves too.
Yeah. Me being clever, making it difficult for people to find our podcast. Anyway, as usual, burninglizardstudios.com. You can find the entire podcast and you can listen to us there. You can leave comments there. You can also email us at burninglizardstudios@gmail.com. You can also find a new Tumblr, burninglizard.tumblr.com, because for some reason my old Tumblr, it won't let me access it anymore. And Tumblr is saying, oh, somebody already has this. I'm like, yeah, me. Let me have it back, you bastards. And you can also go find me on Twitter at Burning Lizard. And questions or comments, we will answer them on the air. And yeah, we hope to hear from you all. And let us know if you have any special manga review requests. Chances of them being reviewed instead of One Piece are slim, but not impossible. And I think that wraps everything up, unless you have anything else you feel like you want to add.
No, I can't wait for anything. I just hope that with Fairy Tail that we get, we get some more instead of going away from it. Probably get away from it. Something else.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. Well, we'll see you all next week. And remember, the manga is always better.